జయముషుపాద పరమహంస పరిపాలకాచార్య అష్టోత్తర సదశ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ అభయ చరణారవింద భక్తివేదాంత గోస్వామి మహారాజ్ శీల ప్రభుపాదికి జయం తిలిలా ప్రవిష్ట విశ్వపాద పరమహంస పరిభ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తర సదశ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ భక్త సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహారాజ్ శీల ప్రభుపాదికి అనంతగోడి వైష్ణవ బృందకి నామాచార్య శీల హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్ కి ప్రేమ సహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్య ఆనంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త బృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గోప గోవినాథ శ్యామకుండ రాధాకుండ గిరి గోవర్ధానికి బృందావన ధామికి మాయపూర్ ధామికి మధురపురి ధామికి జగన్నాథపురి ధామికి ద్వారకాపురి ధామికి గంగమాయికి యమునమాయికి తులసిదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సామవేద భక్త బృందకి గో ప్రేమనంది ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్ల్ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్ల్ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్ల్ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీ శ్రీ గురువన్ గౌరంగ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శీల ప్రభుపాద నమామి శుభదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రసాయ భూదలే శ్రీమతి భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామిని నామిని నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవి గౌరవాణి ప్రజారిణి నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశ తారిణి భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ సంసార సాగరే మగ్నం దీనం మాం కరుణానిధే కర్మగ్రాహగృహీతాంగం మాముద్ధర భవార్ణవ శ్రీమద్భాగవదాఖ్యోయం ప్రత్యక్ష కృష్ణమేవ హి స్వీకృతోసి మయా నాథ ముక్త్యర్థం భవసాగరే మనోరథే మదీయోయం సఫలా సర్వదా త్వయా నిర్విఘ్నేనైవ కర్తవ్యం దాసోహం తవ కేశవ భవే భవే యథా భక్తి పాదయోర్సవ జాయతే తథా కురుష్వ దేవేశ నాథస్త్వం నోయద ప్రభో నామ సంకీర్తనం యస్య సర్వపాప ప్రణాశనం ప్రణామో దుఃఖ శమనం తం నమామి హరిం పరం జన్మాద్యస్య యదోన్వయానిదరదశ్చార్తేష్వభిజ్ఞస్వరాణ్ తేనే బ్రహ్మ హృదాయ ఆదిగవయే ముహ్యంతి యత్సూరయాం తేజో వారివృతం యథా వినిమయో యత్ర త్రిసర్గో మృషాం ధామ్నా స్వేన సదా నిరస్తగుహగం సత్యం పరం ధీమహి ధర్మ ప్రోజ్జిత గైరవోత్ర వరమో నర్మత్సరాణం సదా వేద్యం వాస్తవమత్ర వస్తు శివదం తాపత్రయోన్మూలనం శ్రీమద్భాగవతే మహాముని కృతే కిం వాపరైరీశ్వర సద్యో హృద్యవరుద్యతే త్రికృతిభి శుశ్రూషుభి తల్క్షణా నిగమకల్పదరోర్గణితం ఫలం శుగముఖాదమృతద్రవ సంయుతం పిపద భాగవతం రసమాలయం ముహురహోరసిగా భువి భావుగాహం సచిదానందరూపాయ విశ్వోల్పత్యాదిహేతవే తాపత్రయ వినాశాయ శ్రీకృష్ణాయ వయం నుమాం యం ప్రవ్రజంతం అనుభేదమభేదకృత్యం ద్వైపాయనో విరహగాదరమాచ్యుహావాం పుత్రేది తన్మయత్తరమోభినేదు తం సర్వభూతహృదయం మునిమానతోస్మై యస్వానుభావమఖిల శ్రుతిసారమేకం అధ్యాత్మదీమమదిదీర్షదాం తమోంధం సంసారిణాం కరుణయాః పురాణగుహ్యం తం వ్యాససూనుముపయామి గురుం మునీనాం నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తదో జయముదీరయే కమనీయ కిశోర ముగ్ధమూర్తే కళవేణుకుణిదానృదానందో మమ వాచి విజృంభదా మురారే మధురిన్న కనికాభీ కాభీ నమామి విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రసాయ భూతలే శ్రీమదే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామిని నామినే నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవీ గౌరవాణి ప్రజారిణి నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశదారిణి శ్రీమల్ గురుచరణారవిందాభ్యాం నమః വന്ദേ നന്ദവ്രജസ്ത്രീണാം പാദരേണമഭീഷ്ടശാം യാസാം ഹരിഗതോ ഗീതം പുനാദി ഭുവനത്രയം ഗോപീചരണാരവിന്ദ പരമാണവേ നമ പീതാംബരം കലവിരാജിത ചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദകീ സരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായമതിസുന്ദരമന്ദഹാസം വദാലേശമനിശം ഹൃദി ഭാവയാമി കോമളം കൂജയൻ വേണും ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യവരം ബ്രഹ്മ വാസദാം പുരതോ മമ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃവാദമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീമതി രാധയായ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ ഓം പാർത്ഥായ പ്രതിബോധിതാം ഭഗവതാം നാരായണേന സ്വയം വ്യാസേന ഗ്രഥിതാം പുരാണമുനിനാം മധ്യേ മഹാഭാരതം അദ്വൈതാമൃതവർഷിണീ ഭഗവതീം അഷ്ടാദശാധ്യായിനീം അമ്പത്വാമനുസന്ധദാമി ഭഗവത്ഗീതേ ഭവദ്വേഷിണീ നമോസ്തുതേ വ്യാസവിശാലബുദ്ധേ ഫുല്ലാരവിന്ദായതപത്രനേത്രം യേന ത്വയാ ഭാരതതൈലപൂർണ പ്രജ്വാലിതോ ജ്ഞാനമയ പ്രദീപ പ്രപന്നപാരിജാതായ തോത്രവേത്രൈകബാണയേ ജ്ഞാനമുദ്രായ കൃഷ്ണായ ഗീതാമൃതദുഹേ നമഃ സർവോപനിഷദോ ഗാവോ ദുഗ്ധാ ഗോപാലനന്ദന പാർത്ഥോ വത്സസുനീ ഭോക്താ ദുഗ്ധം ഗീതാമൃതം മഹത് വസുദേവസുതം ദേവം കംസച്ചാണൂരമർദനം ദേവകീ പരമാനന്ദം കൃഷ്ണം വന്ദേ ജഗദ്ഗുരും ഭീഷ്മദ്രോണതട ജയദ്രഥജല ഗാന്ധാര നീലോൽപല ശല്യഗ്രാഹവതീ കൃപേണ മഹനി കർണേന വേലാകുല അശ്വത്ഥാമാവികർണഘോരമകര ദുര്യോധനാവർത്തിനി സോത്തീർണ ഖലു പാണ്ഡവൈരണനദീ കൈവർത്തക കേശവ പാരാശര്യവജ സരോജമലം ഗീതാർത്ഥഗന്ധോൽക്കടം നാനാഖ്യാനകകേസരം ഹരികഥ സംബോധനാബോധിതം ലോകൈ സജ്ജനഷൽപദൈരഹരഹ പേരീയമാനം മുദാ ഭൂയാദ് ഭാരതപങ്കജ കലിമല പ്രധ്വംസിന ശ്രേയസേ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം യം ബ്രഹ്മാ വരുണേന്ദ്ര രുദ്രമരുത സ്വന്വന്തി ദിവ്യൈ സ്തവൈ വേദൈർ സാംഗവദേ ക്രമ ഉപനിഷദേർ ഗായന്തിയം സമഗാഹ ധ്യാനാവസ്ഥിത തജ്ജതേന മനസാ പശ്യന്തിയം യോഗിനോ യസ്യാന്തം ന വിദുസുരാ സുരഗണേ ദേവായ തസ്മൈ നമഃ So yesterday when we were talking about Parikshit Maharaj, you could see that Parikshit from inside, after seeing Krishna within the womb of Uttaradevi, he wanted to continue that relationship with Krishna, but due to circumstances, like what happened with Parikshit because of his heavy responsibility, being the emperor of the planet, had to manage the administration, his position, his situation, and all these kinds has become a handicap for him to find out who is that personality I have met when I was inside Uttaradevi's womb. So from there, he was finding it very difficult to come out of that. You can imagine, ordinary people find it very hard to give up attachment to the family. Got to talk about the responsibility of personality like Parikshit. So, what can he do? He had to do various duties in that process and struggling very hard, unable to come out of that. It was in that state, with that heavy feeling, heavy heart inside, that's the time when he met our Shamik Rishi. When he sees Shamik Rishi. And there he committed that blunder. No doubt, it was a blunder from his side, without realizing the consequences. What prompted him to do that? Because of the heavy pressure inside his mind, which was bothering him a lot. That when he saw Shamik Rishi situated in the transcendental state, unaffected by the modes of nature, completely relieved from the body and the mind, as soon as he saw that, Parikshit was thinking that, why am I like this? And this thought has been hurting him so much that he decided to take that dead snake and put it on the throat of Shamik Rishi. And actually, that blunder what he made has become a blessing for him later. Blessing for him later. In other words, that mistake has become a blessing for him. You can't say it is a mistake in the sense that when you look at it from our point of view, it looks like a negative thing, what has happened, what he has done. But that negative thing alone has become a blessing for him for his future life. He took the dead snake and put it on the throat of Shamik Rishi, and he left. And he left the place. He went back to the palace. Didn't, even though he felt that he has done a wrong thing, he didn't feel like going back and taking it out either. That's the interesting thing. That suppose you have done something mistake, you suppose you have done something wrong, what will you do? If you realize that it was a mistake, you will go back and take it out. And if the Maharshi wakes up, you will apologize to him and say to him that it has happened, I have done out of my, without control of my mind. He didn't do that. What does that indicate? What is indicating is that he decided to go back to the palace, and while all the way going back to the palace, he is thinking about it, what he has done. What he has done. And Shamik Rishi did not notice it either. And he kept in the samadhi state, and Sringi came. Sringi came and he got the news, and he was very upset about it. And he says that, has the Kshatriyas lost all their proper responsibility in this world? Have they lost all their culture? Have they lost all their understanding of spiritual life? And have they lost their senses? This is how Sringi started questioning them. And whoever has done this, he said, that from 7 days' time, he should be bitten by, not by an ordinary snake, a powerful one called a Tatchaka. Tatchaka should bite him. And then he should go. So, once you Tatchaka bite somebody, though even the body won't be there. Even the body won't be there. There is an interesting story once it happened, that even if you fall from the Niagara Falls, you may survive. There is an instance, one person, he fell from the Niagara Falls and he survived. And that person, when he was walking through a street, he slipped on a banana skin or orange skin and he collapsed and died. He did, when he fell from the Niagara Falls, nothing happened. He survived that. But when he slipped a banana skin on the street, he fell and died. He had some problem, he died with that. So similarly, Tatchaka, if he bites somebody, that means it's the end of it. There will be nothing left. So Sringi used the word Tatchaka. Sringi used the word Tatchaka. Tatchaka should bite him. Even to that day, he didn't say just a snake will bite him. He said Tatchaka should bite him so that he doesn't live in this world anymore. So Sringi cursed that, and if you go into Shukratal, where they have the temple there, you will see who are all the deities there. Parikshit, Sukadeva Goswami, Shamik Rishi and Sringi, 4 deities in a row. They kept it there. Parikshit, Sukadeva Goswami, and Shamik Rishi and Sringi, all 4 of them in a line. They have kept it there. So they are the personalities who are responsible for Srimad Bhagavatam in this world. Because Sringi gave that curse, he is also part of that. And Shamik Rishi is also there. But what was interesting there was that when Shamigh Rishi woke up from his samadhi state, and when he heard what has happened, first thing what he did was he told Shanghi that you have done a wrong thing. That you have done a wrong thing, and made him understand why it is wrong. Why it was the wrong thing that he has done. And the king may have done it without proper knowledge. He may have done something. But why did you make this, put this curse on him? This is what, look at that culture of the Brahminical culture. That even, that forgiving nature in the, that is Brahminical culture means forgiving everybody, isn't it? No matter what others have done, able to forgive that, that is Brahminical culture. Tolerance, isn't it? Tidikshava, Kairuniga, Sukhruda, Sarvadehinam, Ajada, Shatrava, Shanda, Sadhava, Sadhavoshana. So, without any revenge, that Tidikshava, Tidiksham, you can see, when you look at these, that's when you notice these qualities in people. That when such an incident happened, that instead of reacting to it, and without having any ill feelings towards Shamigh Rishi, towards Parikshit. Shamigh Rishi is telling his son Shringi, you have done the wrong thing. You have done the wrong thing. Even if, he said, even if he has done a wrong thing, as Brahmanas, it's not our duty to do this, to curse them. This was what he taught him. In fact, he used this opportunity to teach his son how important it is to develop that tadiksha inside. That is a father's duty to the son. To tell the son that they may have done wrong thing, but you have to show tidiksha towards them. That tidiksha, the quality, isn't it? Important quality in the spiritual life. There is no spiritual life without tidiksha. Tidiksha, you see is spoken in the Viveka Churamani also. The definition of tidiksha itself is, what is the definition? That chinda vilavarahitam. Isn't it? Apratigara purvakam chinda vilaparahidam sa tidiksha iti kathyate. That tidiksha, you notice that in Shamigh Rishi. Sahanam sarva dukkhanam apratigara purvakam chinda vilaparahidam sa tidiksha iti kathyate. So, tidiksha means this. That tidiksha in Shamigh Rishi, you can notice it there. He did not react to the situation. Somebody else would have done something. Oh, you did the right thing, they will say. He said, you should have smashed him down. And beat him up before he left. That's what would have, the normal world would have done that. Is it not? But instead, look at that Brahminical nature, culture in that person. That tidiksha inside. And that is what has happened. He has done something without knowledge, but why did you react like that? This was the first thing what he said to him. And he made him aware that he did the wrong thing. And Shringi accepted that. Shringi accepted that. That is also the other aspect of that. The able to communicate in that level of higher realization. So, after all, he is the king, he said. And he is a devotee. Shamigh Rishi said, they know about him, obviously. That, and he should not have cursed in this way. And after all, he said, he has put a dead snake on a dead body anyway. It's a dead body, this body is going to die one day. And he has put a dead snake on that. For which you have reacted like this. So, every time there is an opportunity to make somebody aware that spiritual state, this body has no meaning. This body has no value. So it is the body who gets insulted, offended, and criticized in this world, not the self. Is it not? So to see in that level all the time, and to respond to that in the same way. So only if it is a living snake, you have to think about it. Why he has put a living snake on your neck? But instead it's a dead snake after all at the end, isn't it? So, and saying like this, Shamigh Rishi justified the king, not the son. Shamigh Rishi justified the king and not the son's actions. So, when all these things were happening, Parikshit has gone back to the palace and inside it's burning him. What he has done. He knows he has done a wrong thing. But he's not doing anything about it. He's just waiting. And it is burning inside. He couldn't bear that anymore. So, he's saying here, if anything happens, let the kingdom go. What does it matter? He says, let the kingdom go. What does it matter? And I'm ready here. Whatever that's going to happen, I'm willing to face that situation. Parikshit says, I'm willing to face that situation. It is when he was thinking and reflecting on all these things, Shamiga Rishi sent a couple of brahmacharis from the ashram with this message that a curse has been given by Sringi and in the next 7 days' time, you will have to leave your body, beaten by Tatshaga. A message was conveyed to the king by the brahmacharis who came from the ashram. And when he heard that, king was very happy. Can you imagine that? King was very pleased with that. Why was he happy? Because he was not happy with the life in this world. As soon as he has seen Krishna inside the womb, from that day onwards it's burning inside, when will I see him again? So, practically it has come to this point now that he wanted to leave, throw away everything and walk out from there. Because as soon as he felt that this curse has been given, from inside he was feeling happy about it. Just like you have been released from a prison. You know how you feel? Suppose you spend many years in a prison and one day the prison officer comes and opens the door, gives you the letter saying you can go now. You are free. How will you feel? A similar feeling for him that I am going to be released from this body. Not only that I'm losing all this responsibility, what I'm carrying on my head, because this is what his ancestors have done. Yudhishthira Maharaj did exactly the same thing. When he wanted to walk out, he walked out from there. All the other Pandavas also did exactly the same thing. So that is the tradition in Parikshit also. Parikshit was more than happy to throw away everything and walk away from the whole thing. So, and he knew that the kingdom, the empire, everything was going to go. But inside, a tremendous happiness in him. He himself says that. So, he says, if you look into the 19th chapter, he will say there, that, Sachindayam nithamadha shranodiyadha munesudokto niradistakshagagyam sasadhumene ajirena takshagal alam prasaktasya virakti karanam sachindayam nithamadha shranodiyadha munesudokto niradistakshagagyam sasadhumene ajirena takshaga alam prasaktasya virakti karanam. The fourth verse in the 19th chapter. So, so he has given this news that in 7 days' time he has to leave the body. In these 7 days' time, the news has to reach the king, the message which was sent, and then the king had to go back to the river bank, to the Ganga River, to sit there. So, and then Shiva Brahmarshi had to come, and then Srimad Bhagavatam is going to be spoken after that. All this has to happen within this 7 days gap. 7 days begin from the time the curse was given, from that time. So therefore, the Saptaham was not spoken there. It was not like the way Sudha Goswami and Shaunagarishi spoke Srimad Bhagavatam. Sudha Goswami spoke 7 days, Shaunagarishi heard, Shaunagarishi and the others in the Naimisharanyam heard Bhagavatam for 7 days. That was what is known as Saptaham in 7 days' time. But this was not a Saptaham. In the 7 days' time, lot of time was spent already gone in this process of conveying the message, the kings travelling to the Ganga River, and then Shiva Brahmarshi had to come, and then he had to speak Bhagavatam. So, it was not organized in a Saptaham style, and how much time it was left was unknown. Anyway, Shiva Brahmarshi did not mention about Saptaham in the Bhagavatam, in his ways. Morning and day and night, he spoke Srimad Bhagavatam. He spoke Srimad Bhagavatam day and night. And Shrimad Bhagavatam non-stop. In other words, no resting, no having food, nothing, not even having a drink. 4 days gone like that. And he didn't know anything, because when the news arrived at the palace, and the news, Parikshit Maharaj was so happy, and Ekanath Swami mentioned about this. He says there that you have to admire these brahmanas, he said. How many times you pay your obeisances to them, it's not sufficient. Ekanath Swami says there, because this little brahmana boy and gave a curse, and it developed into self-realization for Parikshit. Just see that. He cursed him, so don't you think you have to honor that boy, Sringi, for what he has done? He cursed Parikshit that in 7 days' time he'll be bitten by Takshaka and gone from this world. But what happened eventually? Eventually he realized the self in 7 days' time, isn't it? Can you call it as a curse? Ekanath Swami asked the question. He says, can you call this as a curse or is it a blessing? He says there. So, the thing is that sometimes you will notice like this. From our point of view, when you look at it, it may appear as a curse or some kind of a negative thing. But it may turn out to be a much better thing in future for that person in life. Once it so happened, Ravana Maharshi's case also, they say this story, that one sannyasi came to their house and asked for some bhiksha at that time. And it so happened that in the house, they were not able to offer the bhiksha straight away. There was some delay inside, they were busy with something else. And sannyasi got upset and he said that from now on, from this family, one person will go become a Swamiji and leave the home and run away from here. That was the blessing. That was the curse he gave to them, and he left. And within a few years, Ramana Maharshi left home and walked away from there. So he got out of that. So this is common. Quite often it has happened like this in the past also. That means a curse has become a blessing for somebody. Although it was given as a curse, it has become a blessing for them. So, Parikshit Maharaj is saying, is saying that this Takshaka's, the curse of Takshaka biting him, for a person who is very attached to home and family life, and living in that way, sometimes you require something like this to come out of it. So it requires a very strong dosage to come out of it. Otherwise, you will stay in that state. And you can see this in many people's life. It has come as a negative thing, but it has become a blessing. Whatever we may say, at the end we don't want to leave home. We want to stay at home. Isn't it? And it is very difficult to come out of that. And those who have come out like this, in Ramana Maharshi's case or in Parikshit's case also, it so happened that is Krishna's grace. That is Krishna's grace. So, sometimes you can see this in life. Some people, when they get extremely ill or they have no proper livelihood, and things have turned out in their life in such a way that they are realizing, reflecting on that and saying that those things have driven them in their life to come out of their material life in this world. It has become a cause for that, for them to come out. So, if you have a higher goal in life, and also a desire to realize the self, something like this may have to happen in life. Say for example, if everything is going on nicely in the life, you will get bored with life one day. You won't come out of it. It will go on like this. So, this curse has become the cause of detachment or renunciation for our Parikshit. That is what he is saying in the next verse. Atho vihaye mamum jalokam vimarshidau heyataya purasthal krishnangri seva madhimanyamanam ఉపావిశల్ ప్రాయ మమర్థనధ్యాం అథో విహాయే మమోంశలోకం విమర్శితో హేయతయా పురస్తాల్ కృష్ణాంగ్రి సేవామధిమన్యమానాం ఉపావిశద్ ప్రాయ మమర్థనాద్యం. పరిషిది సేయింగ్ దట్ ఐ హావ్ థాట్ అబౌట్ దిస్ బిఫోర్ హి సేస్ నాట్ టుడే నాట్ ఆఫ్టర్ ద కర్సెస్ హ్యాపన్ బిఫోర్ దట్ హి సేస్ ఐ థాట్ అబౌట్ ఇట్ అండ్ ఐ రియలైజ్డ్ ఇట్ దట్ దిస్ బాడీ ఈస్ టెంపరీ and the world is also a temporary thing and all of this is anatma, not atma, non self, isn't it? There is no atma present, it is all jadam, dead matter. And he has thought about this, that's what vimarshito heyataya purastal. I have properly analyzed it before. Parikshit is saying this and he has heard this many times in satsangam also, because when Yudhishthira Maharaj was there, often rishis, great great rishis used to come and speak about Ramachandra and about various history in the Vedic philosophy. Markandeya Rishi used to come, Dhaumya used to come. They used to recite Ramayanam and previous history to them. And he has heard enough before in the palace. Parikshit has heard all these things before in the palace. Plus his ancestors have shown him the same path. So you can imagine where it's coming from. It's not just not coming from the air like that. Because of the way he was groomed at home, through renunciation, knowledge, devotion and surrender, all these qualities is already filled inside. Therefore Parikshit had no problem. As soon as this incident happened, he's saying there that I have thought about all these things, he says. Vimarshido heyadaya purastal. And what is that? Krishnangri seva madhimanyamanam. Serving Krishna is the only thing to be done in this world. Parikshit has come to this realization that early. Because inside, after seeing Krishna, that is not unable for him to come out of that, withdraw from that. So, now he says, whatever I have heard before and whatever I have seen, Krishna has given me an opportunity now to realize it. He says, and a chance he has given me. He has given me a chance for that. This is how Parikshit took it when this happened. What will we do if anything happens like this? We will curse Krishna and we will curse everybody. We will curse the whole world. We will curse everybody. This is all the difference. That Parikshit's culture inside, how it prompted him from within straight away to take it in a positive way. Krishna has arranged this for me. An opportunity given to me to realize what I have seen before, what I have heard from the rishis. Parikshit's inside is like that. So, because he says, nobody gets any advance information that death is coming, isn't it? Parikshit is saying, how fortunate I am. I have been given clearly a 7 days notice, is it not? A 7 days notice. We don't want the notice also. We don't want anything, we don't want to hear about it. But here Parikshit is saying, I have been given a notice. So that is why, what do? We are planning all the time, future, 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 this year, next year, what year after, like that. Parikshit Maharaj knew very well this, that 7 days time has been given to me, so let me deal with it now properly. And how can we remain like that? Because can we be courageous like that? Because we can see in our own case, when we breathe outside, whether the next breath will come in, we are not sure. Is it not? Your breath is gone outside. Whether the next breath will come inside, nishwase nahi vishwasam, they say. Nishwasam means the breath outside. You can't trust that it will come back, the next breath. That's our body. Nishwase nahi vishwasam. So, what has gone out, whether it will come back, you don't even know that. Still, in spite of all that, we have no urgency. We have no urgency. And even if we know that it is all like that, we say Bhagavatam can wait. There is no rush to hear Bhagavatam and we look for something alternative. So, we won't hear Bhagavatam. That is the way it is. That's the way the world is. So, Parikshit, the news has arrived and He understood that there will be no empire anymore to rule. And so much wealth, and he had his wife, children, a big empire. All these things, wife, children, a big empire, wealth, everything, all these things. A five-year-old Brahmana boy, he had put his tongue out and said something, that's the end of it. That's the end of it, isn't it? So, therefore he says there, therefore, because it is like, this is how solid all these things are. He felt the nature of this material life. The body can go, the wealth can go, the empire can go, family can go, everything can go, just because a 5-year-old boy has said something, the whole thing is going to go. So when he says there, better not to keep any sangam, any attachment anywhere. So he has analyzed it very well. You will see all these things in these verses. Atho vihaye mamuncha lokam vimarshirena heyadaya vimarshido heyadaya purastal krishnangrisevam adhimanyamanam upavishal prayamamartanadyam yavailasachri tulasi vimishram krishnangirena bhadigam punetri punadi lokanubhayatra seshan kastamna sevedamarishyavanam. Prabhupada has given very detailed purports on these verses in the first canto. Iti vyavachidyasa pandaveyam prayobavesham pradivishnupadhyam dadhyo mukhundangrimananyabhavo munivrado mukta samasta sangaha tatrobajagmur bhuvanam punanam mahanubhavo munayasashishya prayana turthabhigamabadeshai swayam hitirthani punandi sandaha. So, and straight away he walked into Ganga River. As soon as he got this message, by now he has settled inside very well, because after coming back, he thought about this, he analyzed everything, and he was happy to welcome this news, what the curse from the Sringi. And he walked straight into the Ganga River, and he sat there. And it is very difficult to know how far he was from the Ganga River in those days, because we are now talking about 5,000 years ago. But how he came there, all these things are very difficult to say. So, where exactly the palace was at that time? You will see in the history also, Bhishma came to Ganga River. You remember? Bhishma's father Shantanu also came to Ganga River. All of them came to Ganga River. Bhishma came to Ganga River every day. And Shantanu came to Ganga River. Shantanu fell in love with Ganga Devi, and Bhishma was born from that. So from this we can understand that it was not very far from Ganga River where the palace was, isn't it? So, but Parikshit by now has forgotten about the whole empire. After he got this news, he's completely forgotten about the empire, administration, everything. And therefore he had no problem walking away from home. This is the story of many, many great people when they left home. The same way Parikshit walked out. Remember I mentioned about Patanath Swamiji, what he did. He had so much wealth with him, and when he decided to walk out, he just walked out from there and went and sat in front of the Chidambaram temple there. And when the manager, who was managing all his wealth, estates, everything, he goes to him that, at least you could have organized everything properly before you left. He says, you could have organized everything before you go. You know, your proper will you should have prepared. This is sannyasam. This is the proper sannyasam. Nowadays many sannyasis are writing their will also. Everything in an organized way. They want to do it, but that doesn't work. This is vairagyam. You can see the vairagyam, proper vairagyam, when it comes, what happens? There will be no will. There will be nothing to worry about. Patanath Swamiji walked out from there, and manager comes up to him saying, you didn't write your will. You should have properly organized everything. Then you can go, he said. You can go, I have no problem, but organize everything. He says, take the whole thing and throw it in the street, he said. That was his answer, Patanath Swamiji. So he asked a question, is this all mine, first of all, to write it for others? After all, is it mine? That was his question. So Parikshit was in the same state, does not want to say anything. He just want to know anything about him. So that is one kind of vairagyam. That's what you will see there. Atho vihayem mamum chalokam vimarshido heyataya purastal krishnangra seva madhimanyamanam upavishal prayam amartyanadhyam. Coming from realization. Vairagyam, that is coming from realization. Realization that material world is temporary, body is temporary. What is there as on our own to allot to somebody else to write the will and other things? What is there? Body is temporary, world is temporary. Why am I here? And this strong realization, when it happened to him, Parikshit says, I'm going. I'm not going to bother what's going on here. So, so that is what is mentioned there. Amartyanadhyam, Ganga is another river. And Ganga River is another name is Amartyanadhyam. Amartyanadhyam means those who have, wants to have the freedom from death, they take shelter of her. They take her shelter, isn't it? Because she has come from the spiritual world. So it is actually Krishna's grace that is flowing in the form of Ganga River in this world. So why did Parikshit go to Ganga River? Parikshit Maharaj thought, I'll go and sit there, and in the banks of the river, it is a possibility that I may meet up. I'll have some possibility for satsanga there. That was in his mind. Because he didn't think anything else. Let me go and sit near the river. And being close to river, Ganga Devi means you are practically in the association of the spiritual world. Isn't it? And in the presence of Ganga River, thinking about Krishna. Thinking about Krishna. And that was the only goal he had. Only goal he had. Ganga Ashtakam. There is 8 verses glorifying Ganga. In there you will see that Bhagavati Dhavani De He Amba, my dear mother Ganga Devi, that sitting on your river bank and doing any spiritual activities is glorifying. It's very glorifying. So he sat there. And without any desires inside, Krishna Aradhayami, he says here, Krishnangri Seva Madhimanyamanam. In Gangashtakam it says, Krishna Aradhayami. Ajari Swami says here, sitting near the banks of the river Ganga, I'll sit there and I'll meditate on Krishna there. I'll worship Krishna there, near the river bank of Ganga. And here, Parikshit is saying, Krishnangri Seva Madhimanyamanam, Upavishal Praya Mamartyanadhyam. So, Prayopavesham. Prayopavesham is what he is going to do. That means to sit there and to give up the body in that way. So, he is seeing the death right in front of him now. Seeing the death. Yavaila sachri tulasi vimishram krishnangre nabhyadigambodetri punadi loganubhayatra seshan kastam naseveta marishyamanam. The saying that when one knows that death is coming, who will not come and sit in front of Ganga River? He's saying, who will leave Ganga River and go away? When death, that is what all the rishis have done in the past. All the great devotees, jnanis, all of them have done the same thing. When death is approaching, go and sit next to Ganga River. And sit there and take the water from Ganga River and leave the body. That was the mood. So, and getting stick, because Ganga River has come from the spiritual world. So, he says here, that kastamna seveta marishyamana. See the last line? Kastamna seveta marishyamanam. Idivyavachidya sabandaveyam prayopavesham pradivishnubadhyam dadhyo mukunda angrimananya bhavo munivrado mukta samasta sangaham. That continuously remembering Krishna, continuously remembering about Krishna, taking complete shelter of Krishna, and constantly absorbed in Krishna, and completely surrendered to Krishna, living next to Ganga River, and leave the body. And leave the body. This is all what Parikshit had in his mind at that point in time. At that point in time, all he had in his mind was, I'll go and sit near the Ganga River. I'll completely absorb in my thoughts about Krishna. And I will surrender myself to Krishna inside. And totally depending on Krishna. And in the association Gandhariva, I leave this body. This is all the plan was. Nothing more than that. He had no clue what was going to happen. And Parishad Maharaj did not invite anybody to come. That's also another thing. He didn't tell anyone else that I'm going there, you should all come there. Nothing. No, absolutely no invitation to anybody. But he could have, he had association with great rishis before, who had come to the palace before. He did not send any invitation to anybody. He did not inform anyone. He just walked out from the palace, went and sat next to Ganga River. And he says there that he didn't even inquire, is there anybody around? Alone he sat there and completely absorbed in Krishna, because he knew the time is running out. He hasn't got much time now, isn't it? So when he sat there, some people noticed that and they came and started looking at him. Why is he sitting here like this? The emperor from the palace has walked out and he's sitting there like that. Now these days the emperors will go with the with a big entourage, isn't it? There will be Air Force One followed by so many other things to protect them. So anyway, he says there, Tatrova Jagmur, what is happening there? Tatrova Jagmur Bhuvanam Bhunanam Mahanubhava Unayasa Shishyaham Prayana Tirthabhigam Abadeshai Swayam Hi Tirthani Punandi Sandaham. So you can see great, great personalities. Tatrova Jagmur Bhuvanam Bhunanam Mahanubhava Unayasa Shishyaham. Great, great souls who purifies the whole creation. Means the rishis, the sages. Not only on their own, along with their disciples, they had come. They had come. With their disciples, they have come. And and just like if you go to Kumbh Mela time, they talk about that all the time. That even today, loads and loads of great personalities come for that. We may not know them, who they are. So, they didn't come on their own. You will also notice, even Kumbh Mela time, many, many from the different mats, great acharyas, great heads of the mutts, they will come with all their disciples. Something similar to that. That these rishis started coming, not alone, with their disciples. Why did they come? Because these great souls, they come, they'll come saying that it is a pilgrimage, but actually their presence is to purify the rivers, purify the places, That it is because these great personalities visit them, therefore the temples on the river banks, the rivers, and all of them have become holy places because of their presence. That's what purifies them. And due to their presence only, the Tirtha Kshetra, that means these holy places, have become holy because of their presence. So, here, and even just by remembering their names, even that is considered to be very auspicious. Just be talking about their names. So when he sat there, he saw Ganga River flowing very peacefully. It's flowing there. And after all, who is Ganga? You have to read the ninth canto in the Bhagavatam. When she came from the spiritual world. So when she touches the earth, and then when she flows through this, she is in a very jovial mood when she comes through that. And but by the time she comes to these places after Haridwar, she becomes more peaceful about it, isn't it? So so he came and sat near the Ganga River. Who have all come? That is the next two verses you will see. See the personalities who arrived there. Uninvited, never prompted by Parishit, but prompted by Krishna. Atrarvasishta Chevanascharadhvan Arishta Nemi Brigu Angirashaham Parasharo Ghadisutho Dharama Utate Indra Pramadidmavaho Medha Didir Devala Arshtisheno Bharadvajo Gaudama Pipalada Maitreya Aurva Kavasha Kumbhayonir Dvaibayeno Bhagavan Naradascha Anyeja Devarshi, Brahmarshi Varyam, Rajarshi Varyam, Arunadayascha, Nanasheya Pravaran Sameda, Abhyarcha Raja Shirasa Vavande. you look at that list, you will see all the great persons or personalities. Atri, Vasishtha, Shyavana, Sharadvan, Arishtanemi, Bhrigu, Angiras, Parashara Maharshi, Vidyavyasa Maharshi's father, Gadi, Parashurama, Udatya Indra, Udatya, Indra Pramavet Idmavaho, Medhadidi, Devala, Ashtishena, Bharadvaja, Gautama, Pippalada Maharshi, Maitreya Maharshi, Aurvan, Kavasha, Agastya Maharshi, Kumbhayuni, Dvaibhayanam, Vedavyasa Maharshi, Bhagavan Naradascha, Narada Maharshi as well. They have all come and they are Anyaja Devarshi Brahmarshi Varyam. They are Devarshi, Brahmarshi, Rajarshi, all of them. They are all Rishis, all of them Rishis. Some of them are Devarshis. Narada Maharshi is Devarshi. And some others are Brahmarshis, like Sukadeva Goswami is Brahmarshi, he is Brahmarshi. And then there are kings who have become Rishis, Rajarshi, like Vishwamitra and others. They are Rajarshi. So, when they all came there, one after the other, Parishit was in a shock. He hasn't known anything what is going to happen. He went there, just sat there and decided to leave the body. Thinking about Krishna next to Ganga River, he wanted to leave his body. That's all he had in his mind. But one after the other, all these personalities started coming. And he himself was in a shock to see them. But as in a respectable way, when they arrived, he got up and paid his obeisances to all of them from there. And he was thinking, what have I done for this? You can imagine Parikshit's thinking at that time. What did I do to have this association at this time in my life in this way? What I have done is not very commendable, isn't it? A dead snake, I have put it on the throat of a rishi and I have come here. And look at these people who are coming to see me off now from here. And you can understand, suppose you have done something very good, and if you get a blessing like this, we can understand that. But I have done something terribly bad and I have come here. And now they are all coming here to bless me. For what? He himself was in a shock. So it looks like a contrast, isn't it? You have done something wrong, but all the rishis are coming to bless you at that time. So only a dead snake I have taken and put it on the throat of Shamigar Rishi, for which all this sent off from here. And that too, I was born in the dynasty of the Pandavas, among the Pandavas. And Pandavas generally are known for respectful to the rishis. That is their culture, isn't it? They have been so respectful to the rishis and the sages. So many rishis and sages visited the Pandavas when they were in the forest, particularly seeing their good qualities. All of them. And knowing all these things, because of presence of the rishis when they were ruling also in the palace, rishis came and they always associated with Pandavas. But Narada Maharshi says the secret behind all that was Krishna was with them. When Krishna was with the Pandavas, they came to visit Pandavas. Rishis had come to see Krishna actually. But in that process, if you look into the seventh canto, you will see Gudambaram Brahma Manushya Lingam. He says, Shri Narada Maharshi says to Yudhishthira Maharaj, Pandavas got all this respect in this world because Krishna has been with them. Because of that, recognition from the rest of the rishis. So the rishis used to visit them because of Krishna being present in the palace with the Pandavas. Gudambaram Brahma Manushya Lingam. That Purna Brahmam has in the form of human form has come and is staying with them. So, but because the rishis has visited Pandavas before and Pandavas have always been very respectful to the rishis and honored the rishis all the time, they were all purified by that. And Pandavas had this great reputation that they were because of their close relationship with the rishis. And I was born in that dynasty. Pandavas dynasty. But what have I done, gone and done? I've gone and done such an abominable thing to take a dead snake and put it in the throat of a Shamigar Rishi. That's all. He says there that what I've done is not at all. Aho vayam, 13th verse. അഹോ വയം ധന്യതമാ നൃപാണം മഹത്തമാനുഗ്രഹണീയ ശീലാഹ രാജ്ഞാം കുലം ബ്രാഹ്മണപാദശൗചാൽ ദൂരാദ്വസൃഷ്ടം ബദഗർഹ്യകർമ്മം. അഹോ വയം ധന്യതമാം നൃപാണം. ദ പരമ്പര ഐ ബിലോങ് ടു, ഹി സേസ്. അഹോ വയം ധന്യതമാം നൃപാണം മഹത്തമാനുഗ്രഹണീയ ശീലാഹ ദാറ്റ് ഇറ്റ് ഹാസ് ബീൻ ബ്ലെസ്ഡ് ബൈ ദ ഋഷീസ് ഹൂ പാണ്ഡവാസ് ദാറ്റ്സ് ബീൻ ബ്ലെസ്ഡ് ബൈ ദി ഋഷീസ് ബിഫോർ. രാജ്ഞാം കുലം ബ്രാഹ്മണപാദശൗചാൽ ദൂരാദ്വസൃഷ്ടം ബദഗർഹ്യ കർമ്മം. ദാറ്റ് ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് ഇംപോസിബിൾ ഫോർ സച്ച് എ thing to happen. Garhya karma means abominable thing to happen in this dynasty, Pandava's dynasty, isn't it? But still it happened. In normal situation it should not have happened with the Pandavas. With the Pandavas it should not have happened, but it has happened, he's saying here. That's why he's saying tasyaiva me me akhasya paravaresho വ്യാസക്ത ചിത്തസ്യ ഗൃഹേഷ അഭീഷണം നിർവേദമൂലോ ദ്വിജശാപരൂപോ യത്ര പ്രസക്തോ ഭയമാശുദത്തെ. യു സീ ദ നെക്സ്റ്റ് വേർഡ്സ് ദാറ്റ് ഹി മെൻഷൻസ് ദേർ ദാറ്റ് പരാമരേഷ in home we get stuck at home, we stick to things, is it not? That's the only life, sticking all the time, one thing or the other, and nothing comes and stick to us, we go and stick to things. That's always like that, whatever at home and family life and all. We say, oh, I've got all these things on my head, all these problems. Actually, what it is we go and stick to everything. Wife, children, home, relations, friends, this, that, the other. And then, they didn't come and stick to you. You were gone and sticking to them. And that's where the problem started. And then you're saying, oh no, what, they're all with me. And that is what he's saying here. Then, and very cruel way to things what you are sticking to today, they will one day break it. In a very cruel way, they'll break that connection and go to whom you are sticking to. That is, the sticking business causes a lot of problems. If you stick to something, those very same thing will one day leave you and go in a very cruel way. So, therefore, rishis are saying to us, even while living at home, stay in a way that you don't stick to anything. Always remain distanced from things. And vairagyam, they keep saying, never stick to anything, because one day they will cheat you. They will all cheat you. Unfortunately, we are finding it difficult to do that surgery of cutting off. We are finding it difficult. Like, just like a growth, it's growing. That we are sticking to things and it's growing also. And that growth is called ajnanam. Ajnanam means avidya, ignorance in us, isn't it? And we don't know how to break it away. Finding it difficult to cut that off. Krishna mentions there, asanga shastrena dridhena chitva. Remember that in the Bhagavad Gita. Thirteenth, isn't it?
You have that.
Yeah, the I think it's in the 13th chapter or 15th. 15. നരൂപമസ്യേഹ തതോവലബ്ധയേ നാന്തോ ന ചാദിർ നജസം പ്രവിഷ്ടാഹ അശ്വത്ഥമേനം സുവിരൂഢമൂലം അസംഗശസ്ത്രേണ ദൃഢേന ചിത്വാ. കൃഷ്ണ സേസ് that that is what it is. That's what here also. Asanga shastrayana dhrdhena chitva. Able to cut it off, that connections. Because one day they will only give you, in a very cruel way, they will leave us. And at that time we will realize it. Up to that time we will say, what can I do, this, that, everything, so many things. But whatever we say at the end, that's what's going to happen. So that's what he is saying here also. Asanga shastrayana dhrdhena chitvam. So, as far as we are concerned, we don't have asangam. We don't have shastram. We don't have chedanam also. Asanga shastrayana dhrdhena chitva, Krishna is saying there. We don't have asangam. We don't have shastram. And we don't have chedanam also. Chedanam means cutting off. Neither of them. Sangam is very strong in us. Asangam is not there. Shastram we don't have to cut it off the sword. And unable to cut it off. We are unable to cut it off either. We don't know anything. And all we require is some reason in life to go and get attached to something, somewhere, isn't it? So, it is in this situation, by Krishna's grace, Krishna gives us some distress in life, some heavy distress. And practically what Krishna is doing is a surgery. Because you are not able to do it yourself, so Krishna decides that, let me give something. I have to do the surgery myself, he said. He does that. But when he is doing the surgery, we are feeling the pain. We are feeling the pain. But there will be some pain at that time, and later on you can see what surgery Krishna has done, it has become his grace later. That comes much later, when that realization happens. That Krishna has shown such compassion, that he has brought some knowledge into your life, proper understanding of life. Otherwise we will continue with whatever we are doing here. We will be busy with one thing or the other. We will say, yes, yes, chant Hare Krishna 16 rounds, this, that, everything. We will preach all that. But when it comes to when it comes to detachment, whatever Krishna has spoken, we won't be able to take it very seriously. So, Parikshit is saying here that this Brahmana boy's curse has become a cause for my renunciation, for my detachment from this world. Therefore, he's saying to all of the rishis who have come there, none of you have to feel bad about this, he said, because let Tatshaya come or anybody else come here. Let him come and let them do what he wants to do. What he has done to me is a great favor. Parikshit is able to acknowledge it that way. That's why he is saying there, Tam kobayadam pradiyandu vipraha gangaja devi dhritachitta nisha ishe dijoba srishtam uhaga tatshagova ashatvalam gayada vishnugadha ashatvalam gayada vishnugadha. I am going to sit here, let Tatshaka come and buy it, I will glorify Krishna here, sitting, thinking about Krishna, and singing about Krishna, hearing about Krishna, I leave this body. Let Tatshaka come and bite me. He says like that. So, so you can see how determined he was, Parikshit was, in spiritual life. Is it not? That means to say that, how clear he has to be inside, in his own thoughts. That real vairagyam, renunciation, you can see there. That he was able to give up this palace, kingdom, family, everything. You don't see much spoken about Parikshit and his family life here. Have you noticed? It's all about, that's not important as far as self-realization is concerned. That's why, only from Mahabharatam you come to know that he had a son by name, Janmeja, and two or three boys like that. But apart from that, there is not much spoken about his relationship with them. Because inside Parikshit, self-realization is more important than any other thing in this world. He has come to that firm, what Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? Vesayalpayabuddhi, you can see imperfectly, in complete perfection, in Parikshit. That Vesayalpayabuddhi. That Egeha Kuranandana, one-minded devotion and commitment in spiritual life. All these things didn't matter to him. Wife, children, palace, empire, nothing. Everything thrown up. That is Vesayalpayabuddhi. If you want to understand the Sai Almiyabuddhi, that's the best example. So he stays there, and he says there, death can come any time. Parikshit is saying this to the sages. To the rishis, he is saying this. Death can come any time. And that need not be in the form of Takshaka. It can be in any other form as well. He says there that you will see this. Parikshit saying this in the 12th canto. He mentioned it. This first canto and 12th canto, you have to connect it together. Because they are what he spoke then and what he spoke at the end. If you look into the 12th canto, you will see there in the 6th chapter what he had to say. He says there that Bhagavam Stakshagadibhyo, 5th verse, 12.6.5, Bhagavam Stakshagadibhyo Mrityibhyo Navibhem Yaham Pravishto Brahmanurvanam Abhayam Darshidam Tvaya. My Lord, I now have no fear of Takshaka or any other living being or even of repeated deaths because I have absorbed myself in that purely spiritual absolute truth which you have revealed and which destroys all fear. Bhagavan Takshagadibhyo Mrityibhyo Navibhem Yaham. I am not frightened about death anymore. Why? Pravishto Brahma Nirvanam Abhayam Darshidam Tvaya. As soon as I have seen you and you have given me this realization of the self. Brahma Nirvanam means self-realization. Aham Brahmasmi. This awareness has happened to me and I have seen shelter there. Now nothing is frightening to me. Abhayam Brahma Nirvanam and Pravishto Brahma Nirvanam. I am situated in that state now. Pravishto Brahma Nirvanam. Why? Abhayam Darshidam Tvaya. I am feeling fearlessness now. So let Takshaka come or anybody else come, it doesn't matter. That's what he had to say at that time. So thanks. So it was at that time he mentions this that he is so clear that if I don't die through Takshaka, I'll die some other way. What is the big deal about that? That's what he's saying there. If I'm not dying through Takshaka, some other way death will come. Death is certain. That you can't escape from that. So why do we make a big issue out of Takshaka? Takshaka is just only a cause behind that. So Takshaka alone is not the... If you have escaped from one form of death, another form of death is definitely going to come in some other way. So I mentioned that example. You didn't die when you fell from the Niagara waterfalls. But then you die by sleeping on the banana skin in the street in New York. So that can happen. Is it not? So you can see here, why? How come he escaped from Niagara? Because it was not time yet to go. And now the time has come to go, so it has come another form. The death has come in another form. So to die, even a banana skin is sufficient. You don't need to fall from Niagara Falls. That's what it is. Cause is not, we are thinking that because of somebody died because of cancer, because of stroke, because of blood pressure, whatever it may be, they are all external things. That's not, time is over. That's what it is. But at that time, to take you away from here, some cause has to come and it comes in that form, in different form, whatever it is. So, normally when people die, we will say, how did he die? We ask the question, as though something has happened. That's why he died. It's a very illogical question actually to ask. Then they'll say, oh, he had cancer, you know, that's why he died. Or we'll say he had something else. Only a week ago everything was tested and everything was found normal by the blood test. It has shown that all the scans have been done and everything was normal. But then he has gone. Is it not? This is a normal conversation in this world. Everybody says, oh, everything, we feel, oh, all the tests, scans are showing everything very clear. And the blood test is shown, everything normal. Now nothing can happen. And you say, sitting like this, the next day you're gone from here. You take all your blood tests, scan everything and put it in the bin. That's all you can do. Is it not? So that is the reality. That is the reality. We are thinking that blood test and scan and all is going to give you a guarantee-like thing, like an MOT certificate or something like that. Nothing is valuable. It's all nonsense. So they'll say, either then they'll say, oh, it was a heart attack. or it was a cardiac arrest, or something else. Because only a week ago everything was tested, and everything was normal, all showing normal. But then the person is gone. Person is gone. So, you can't escape. If you have to go, you have to go. All these tests and other thing, there's no guarantee at all. It's not guarantee at all. So, therefore, better not to worry too much about it. All these things. If it happens, it happens. If the tests are there, it's okay. Put it in the file and keep it there. But don't think about it too much that it is a guarantee. There's no guarantee. The time is up, you have to leave. So Parikshit Maharaj is saying the same thing here. He's saying that, Parikshit Maharaj is saying. Obviously he had the best physicians at that time. But he didn't bother about it. But here, this Takshaka is coming. And Takshaka is coming. If he wanted to come out of it, he could have done that. You can see the circumstances. If Parikshit wanted to escape from that curse, he could have. Either Sringi could have withdrawn the curse. He was capable of doing that. All these personalities are such powerful personalities. Shamiga Rishi, he could have stopped it from happening. Parikshit himself could have stopped it if he wanted to. But nothing was happening. Nothing happened in that way. It was meant to happen in this way. And Parikshit is acknowledging that. That so, what did he say? He says that don't blame Takshaka for this, he's saying. Because he says there, what I have done is a wrong thing. And even if I take birth again, I should not do this anymore. That is why he's saying there, if you look at the verse 16, he's saying there, Punascha Bhuyad Bhagavatyanande 1.9.16. Punascha Bhuyad Bhagavatyanande Radhi Prasangascha Tada Ashrayeshu Mahal Suyam Yam Upayami Srishtim Maitresu Sarvatra Namo Dvijebhyaha. Punascha Bhuyad Bhagavatyanande Radhi Prasangascha Tada Ashrayeshu Mahal Suyam Yam Upayami Srishtim Maitresu Sarvatra Namo Dvijebhyaha. He says that only thing what I need now, strong attachment to Krishna at this time while leaving this body. Nothing else I am concerned about, he says. And all I need is association of devotees. Association of devotees. That in another lifetime, if it happens to me again, that I do not do such a thing again. I do not do such a thing again what I have done. And therefore, he says here, Maistrestu Sarvatra Namo Dvijebhya. That is why he is saying that. That what I have done here to Shamigarishi, such a thing, abominable thing, I shouldn't do it again in another life if I am sent back here with another body. Instead, I must have the association of the rishis. Or Maistrestu Sarvatra Namo Dvijebhya, all the devotees. Let me have their association. So, and then he pays his respects to all the realized souls, Yanis and the realized people. He gives them his obeisances to them. And after saying all these things, he's sitting there waiting for the death to come. He's sitting, he said all these things and he sat there. Now, waiting for the death to come. 4 or 5 days, whatever that is left, isn't it? And normally, suppose you know that no matter who it is in this world, if you know that in 2 or 3 days' time death is coming, no matter who it is, there will be inside some shock. Isn't it? No matter who it is. Once you know that in a few days his body is going to go, and that warning is a very strong warning. Nothing else in this world will shake you like the way death is going to shake us. Death is going to shake us. Is it not? That is why in Kathopanishad, Nachiketas, you will see this story. Begins with that. He is asking death personified, who are you? He says. Asking who? To Yama. He is asking, who are you? And he is saying, asking him, what does death means? He says to Yamadharmaraja, Nachiketas is asking. And this you will see, many realized souls, they have analyzed death very well in their life. And here, Parikshit is also looking at death and glorifying the death. Glorifying the death. That's why this Yama's abode, Samyamini Puri it is called, in relationship with the planetary system, it is on the south side of the earthly planet. That's why most of the people find it difficult to sit in the direction of the south. Because Yama's planet is on the south side of the earthly planet. So that's why all auspicious things, they will do only facing the north, not towards the south. Samyamini Puri is present in relationship with the earthly planet on the south side. And Parikshit is ready sitting there, and all the rishis have come there, and he is telling them, please instruct me what I should do. All I want to do is to remember about Krishna and glorify Krishna, and in that way let me leave this body. That's all he said to them. And he says, if you look into that 24th verse, tadashchava prachamimam vipruche vishrabhya vipram idi krityadayam sarvalmana mriyamana ischa krityam shuddham jatatram rishadhabi yuktaham. That nobody is saying anything. When Parikshit mentioned this to them, nobody was saying anything. They were all keeping quiet. They were still thinking, oh, Parikshit is dying. He's going to leave his body. What are we supposed to tell him? And question is very grave, isn't it? A person who is going to die, what should he do? That's the question. One who is facing death, what should he do? That's the question. And in a big hospital, a famous doctor, he asked this question once. He asked this question. He reads Bhagavatam, this doctor. And he said this, that how should one face death while waiting for death? While waiting for death. Because they are used to seeing regularly people leaving this world in different ways, isn't it? In different ways. And that is the most important thing happening in the hospital, dying, death. So, and a stage comes in everybody's life. The doctors know very well there is no benefit anymore giving the medicine to that person because he's on his way out. They know that. Doctors know this. Almost many, many doctors have said this, that it's pointless spending money and spending medicine treating people. But they won't tell you that. Only have to talk to them, then they will reveal to you if you are a friend of them. They'll tell you, we don't know why we are keeping them alive, giving them these medicines and all the care that is connected with that. It all a lot of money and care and time, and hospitals are busy because of that. They're saying that. But they won't say that. If you say it in the public, they will be put into trouble. So they won't say that. But privately they will reveal to you that a lot of these cases, it is not treatable anymore. Because he's going. If not today, tomorrow, they'll give you 3 days, 5 days, 1 week, person is on his way. And still you are trying to somehow to show to the relatives and friends who are coming to visit with the flowers and the card and everything, get well card and all, to come back. There is no card will work now. No card, nothing will work. You get the other card to go. So it is that state, and that is where this is happening. That's what's happening here also. He says, you can't blame the doctor for that. What can the doctor do? He is also helpless about that, isn't it? Then these relatives say, oh, he's our family doctor. He looks after everything. He looks after us very well. We are known to each other. What he can do? If we are known to each other, what does it mean? Nothing. So, you can't blame anybody for that. So, question is, how do you face death when death is happening? And they will keep giving this tablet, that injection, one after the other. One over the other, and if you have some reaction, then you bring some other tablets and feed that. Like this, one after the other train there. And the doctor also feels bad because he's feeling that I'm only giving trouble to him. He's not going to survive. He's going to go. Things have gone so wrong inside. The body is on its way out. And nothing can be done. And he knows this. So that is why in Srimad Bhagavatam, when Shuga Brahmarshi is saying like this, Shuga Brahmarshi is saying like this, so in the modern world, what should we do? The doctor asked this question. This was doctor's dilemma. He is a famous surgeon in a big hospital, Apollo Hospital. A famous surgeon asked this question. What should we do? In Srimad Bhagavatam, Shiva Brahmarshi is saying like this, and in reality, this is what's happening there. What should we tell these people who are on their way out? He said that. So, because it has become a big problem, you can see. So, a person is facing death, and that is the truth. And the doctor has to tell a lie to him. Oh, everything will be alright. He knows very well he's on his way out. And the doctor has to tell him that everything is okay. He'll be alright. It may take a few days, but he'll be back to normal, everything. It's not going to be normal. He knows that it's going. So, only one thing he can say like this is that as much as possible, realize that you're not the body. That's the only thing you can tell that person. He may not realize it straight away. That is his prarabdham. What can you do? But the truth has to be spoken at that time that Atma doesn't die. That's the only truth in that. In that whole scenario, if you look at it, the only truth in the whole thing is the medicine is all false. Body is false. Treatment is also false. In all these whole circumstances, the only truth there is that Atma is real. Atma doesn't die. The soul doesn't die. So that you have to say to them. There is nothing else you can say to them. Atma doesn't die. And said, but it is difficult. We can't say this at that time. It is very, very difficult. Remember in Haridwar, there was one Paramartha Ashram. There was one sannyasi there. So he was a little bit rude in this way. People used to go to him for his blessings. And first blessing they'll give is that you die. The first blessing, you die. Second blessing is that whatever wealth, health, whatever you have got, let that all go. And the third thing he'll say is that with whomever you have any connection or relationship, let they all break up and leave you. These three blessings he used to give to everybody, whoever has gone to him. Because people are going, our people, you know what they are like. They'll go and ask for, bless me, he'll say, keep saying, Maharaj, give me blessings. And so he decided that what am I supposed to tell them? He got so bored with them, people coming and asking for this. So he developed this strategy. Whoever comes to him, he will give these three blessings. So when he did that few times, everybody stopped going to him. Nobody went up to him to bother him anymore. So first thing was that he said that you will die straight away. Secondly, he said all your wealth and whatever health, whatever you have got, you will lose all that very soon. And then thirdly, he said with whomever you have relationships in this world, family, friends and all that, they will all leave you and go. So three blessings, that's it. And they've gone. So if you say like this to anybody, they won't even look at you. They won't even talk to you. So, death is always there in us. And that fear of death is also there in all of us. But it is hiding behind somewhere. But only thing is, when you come to that moment, very close to it, it will come out very strongly. So, Bhartrihari mentions this. If you look into his Vairagya Shatakam, you will see. Bhaktir Bhave Marana Janma Bhayam Hridiswam. He says there. It is the 67th verse in the Vairagya Shatakam. It says, Bhaktir Bhave Marana Janma Bhayam Hridistam Samsarga Dosha Rahida Vijanavadantam Vairagyam Asmi Kemartha Paramarthaniyam. So death is a cause for creating Vairagyam inside. To develop some Vairagyam inside, death can help. That can help. So, as far as a person who who is engaged in spiritual life, in the sadhana stage, what is required is that first thing is bhakti, devotion to Krishna. Secondly, always fearful about death and rebirth. Always fearful about death and rebirth. And make a decision that I don't want to suffer like this anymore. That decision inside. So, not known here that we know that this birth and death is a bluff. Is it not? If you have understood Bhagavad Gita, birth and death has no meaning. It is a bluff. Do you know what I'm saying? Birth and death is a bluff. Krishna mentions that very clearly in the Bhagavad Gita as well as in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Ashochyan anyashochastam prajnyavadamscha bhashase gadasuna gadasamscha nani shochandi panditaha. What does that word saying? Gadasuna gadasamscha nani shochandi panditaha. For a learned person, this coming going doesn't exist because he is in the realized state of Atma. So there is no thing called death. Krishna has, what does he say there? So many verses there, isn't it? That na jayade mriyade va kadajil na hambutva ayambutva bhavadovana bhuya ajaha nityaha shashodaha puranaha ajo nityam shashodoyam puranam na hanyade hanyavane sharire. So Krishna is saying to us, there is no such thing called death. Na jayade, there is no thing called birth either. Na mriyade, there is no death either. But, so it is a bluff. Krishna is saying to us, it is a bluff. But because of that bluff, it is giving us trouble here. While living in this world, we are suffering because of this bluff. Is that not true? Krishna is saying it's a bluff. But because of that bluff, we are suffering here today. Whole life practically. Because when the death will come? When will the death come? That worry. Especially when you get older, it becomes stronger inside. How is it going to happen? How will that happen? What form it will come? All these problems builds up inside. And very difficult to throw it away. This is the situation. So we are taking birth again, and we are again taking birth, and we are celebrating happy birthday also along with that. And Krishna is saying it's the whole thing is a bluff. This is us. This is our confusion now. Krishna very clearly says to us, it's all a bluff. Na jayate, na mriyate, va kadajil, and we are busy. So, and although we know that we are Purnavastu. Purnavastu means perfect. Alpa is always perfect, is it not? Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swarupam Alma Akhandam, unbroken it is, pure consciousness it is. And it, as soon as you accept this birth and death, you have become Alpam. Alpam means limited. You have become limited. Just like a big emperor, you are getting hold of him and putting him in the prison. And the person whom you have, our pure nature is Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swarupam. That means eternal, pure, fully conscious, always liberated. This is our, as we, what we are actually. And as soon as, just like a big emperor, if you put him into the prison, and he is, or somebody you have put him in the prison, and every year he is celebrating in the prison, the day he has got into the prison. Suppose I have been put into the prison for 10 years. And say, today, 25th of January 2015, I was in the prison. Every year on 25th of January, I am celebrating. I have been put into the prison. First anniversary was prison life. Similarly, this is our birthday celebration. Is it not? That you have been put into this prison called body, and you are celebrating it every day. Because they have given you the prison house sentence. So even Avatara Purushas, those who have come as incarnations here, including them, they could not be perfect in the body. While they were in the Avatara Purushas, I'm talking about even highly realized souls, when they had come here, they could not be perfect with the material body. You have seen that with anybody, whether it is Srila Prabhupada, Ramana Maharshi, or Ramakrishna Paramahamsa, or anyone for that matter, whomever you look at in this world, even they, with all their self-realization, everything, with this material body, it's not possible to be perfect. It's not possible to be perfect. So it is not possible, simply not possible. So only thing is, with knowledge and realization, if you become perfect, that is the only perfection you can have here. Only perfection you can have here. So staying inside the body, in the level of, in the field of the body, it is not possible to be perfect. It's not possible to be perfect. So that is the reason, this is the reason why Srimad Bhagavatam begins with this important thing of curse about death. About death. This is the reason why Bhagavatam begins with this curse about death. To make us aware that, you see how nobody likes, you can imagine any novel or anything starting with the death first itself. And the greatest spiritual literature in this world is beginning with death. The whole business starts with death. And normally what you would like, it should have started with a marriage or something, isn't it? It would have been very nice. But instead, no, not with the marriage, but with the death. So, they could have started in a different way. A nice marriage happened and how they celebrated the marriage, the feast and all the, and the happiness that comes from the marriage. They could have started to make everybody happy. Instead, it's like a novel which starts with the most unfortunate thing called a death to start with, isn't it? Normally you can see in cinema, when you look at cinemas, many of these movies also, they'll say that majority of this, especially our Bollywood movies, they will see a man and woman wants to get married and a lot of problems in their life happened, obstacles for them to get married. One after the other, all the obstacles were taken out and then everything was removed and they got married and the film ends happily. You could have done like that in Bhagavatam also. Instead, why did the Vedavyas chose that? Vedavyas decided, let us start with the death. Beginning, the whole thing begins with the death and that too with a curse. You're going to die from 7 days' time. So story is there, but you can see in this whole episode, first canto, not even a reference to who's Parikshit Maharaj's wife is. Not even spoke. How she felt it. Nothing is spoken about it even. How the children felt. What will happen to them. But here everybody will inquire about those things. Is it not? But in Srimad Bhagavatam, no reference to his wife, no reference to his children, nothing. Simply spoke only from the spiritual side. Curses happened. 7 days' time, body is going to go. Went to Ganga River, sat there, reflecting on Krishna. Rishis came there. And he asked them to talk to me about Krishna. This is how the whole message is flowing here. Don't you see the difference? This is why Srimad Bhagavatam is not very interesting for many people. They don't want to read it. There is nothing interesting there, is there? Whereas this is spiritual life. Spiritual life means that where, how the Vairagyam had come to him. This is the how that knowledge in him has kept for came to his help. At the time when he wanted it. His satsangam in the past, when he was at the palace with other rishis, and his ancestors like Yudhishthira and others, how they have trained him, all that is coming through for his help now, when he wanted it badly. That is why when this curse happened, he was least disturbed about it. He was able to handle it with full courage. He sat there and to speak like this, that is Parikshit's greatness. Material life flows in one way. Spiritual life goes in a different way. We can observe that here. Material life, marriage is important, birthday party is important, all other things what makes us happy here. But spiritual life, all those things have no value. You can see no reference to his wife, no reference to his children. Nothing is spoken here. So it was at that time when all these things are happened, a person arrived there. And fully naked and looked very youthful. And the Bhagavad Gita says, he was very much look like Krishna, but if you take away the peacock feather and the flute from Krishna's hand, and the personality has walking in like that. And he says here, that you will notice that, taraschava pachramimam viprachayam, vishrabhavi pramidikra krityadaya krityadayam, sarvalmanamriyamanaisya krityam, shuddham jadatram shadhabi yuktaham. Tatra abhavad, the words what Vedavyasas use there. Tatra abhavad bhagavan vyasaputro yadrichayagam adamano anavekshaha alakshalingo nijala vatushto vridastribale avadhutaveshaha. That is a famous verse in the Bhagavatam. Why it is famous? Tatra abhavad bhagavan vyasaputro yadrichayagam adamano anavekshaha alakshalingo nijala vatushto vridastribhalehi avadhutavesha. This is the appearance of Sukadeva Goswami in the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is how Sukadeva Goswami's appearance in the Bhagavatam is this verse. Is this verse. Lot of things there. In the previous verse he said, sarvalpana mriyamanaischa krityam shuddham yadatvat mushadhabhi yukta mriyamanaischa. When Shukha Brahmarshi mentioned there, because you can see Parishadi is saying this, Rajavaja, he is saying there, sarvalpana mriyamanaischa, that is the 24th verse, mriyamanaischa krityam shuddham yadatvat mushadhabhi yukta. He is saying to the rishis, from your heart you bless. From your heart you bless. Mriyamanaischa. Mriyamanaischa means in plural. He is saying there, because he is not asking to bless him. He is not asking to bless him. He said, because you remember, Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken, Satyambaram Dhimahi. Satyambaram Dhimahi. And we are all here remembering Krishna. And if you look at all the great personalities, Lord Buddha and many others, they will never ask for themselves anything. What they are saying here is, sarvalpana mriyamanaischa krityam shuddham yadatra mushadhabhi yukta. He is saying to them, King Parishit is saying to these rishis present there, bless all everybody, everybody to come out of this illusion in their head. He's not saying to them, bless me with anything. Bless me with anything. He's saying, sarvalmana mriyamanesya mrityam krityam shuddhajatra mushadhabhi yukta. So, he never said that, I want to come out of this situation. He doesn't say that. I want to come out of the situation. A mood like that. He's saying that death is concerned, it is distress for everybody. For everyone, it is a distress. And but he is saying to them, he is saying, sarvalpana mriyamanaischa krityam, please analyze my situation very well and then talk to me what I should do. But nobody was saying anything. The rishis were keeping quiet. Rishis were keeping quiet. The reason for that is, the rishis had come, Krishna has prompted them from within. It is Krishna's. We have no freedom here. Everything Krishna is doing here. Through, we think that we are making our plans and programs. But actually, based on our prarabdham, based on our vasana, Antaryami inside is making the plan. Only thing, it is difficult for us to accept that, is it not? Based on our prarabdham, and based on our vasana inside, and based on the modes of nature, the Antaryami is acting and taking us through this world, whichever way it is going. And we don't have any freedom there, and the rishis know this better than anybody. So that is why they kept quiet about it. They didn't say anything about it. Because they will only open their mouth if their Antaryami inside makes them to open or makes them to speak. And on their own, they won't think through their mind and brain and come up with some conclusion, solution to the problem. They won't say anything like that. They were very careful. Careful in the sense that, because they are so conscious that nothing can happen in this world without Krishna's approval. This Ishasyahi vashe logo yosha dharumai yatha. In the third canto you will see. They are so sure that whatever is happening in this creation is all happening with Krishna's sanction. Nothing can happen otherwise here. Good or bad, no matter what happens. So because that realization is so strong in them, they won't say one word, they kept quiet, because there is no instruction from Antaryami to say anything. And they are also waiting something to happen, something to happen. Just like as a signal, they have got a signal not to say anything. So they were quiet. Because they can also, they are very, in a deeper level they can think. And think means they can understand things. Well, they analyze life in a different way. Why were they brought there in front of the king at that moment in time? All these great souls together. So obviously, when all that happened, the rishis thought there must be a higher plan working behind it. Otherwise this could not happen in this way. Parikshit Maharaj to do such a thing, to put the dead snake on the rishi's throat, that was a surprise to them. Secondly, and if that has to happen like that, there must be a reason behind it. Secondly, then the little boy Sringi to curse him in that way, in 7 days to die. And then Parikshit to throw away everything, walk away from the whole world and go to Ganga River and sit there. And then all these rishis one after the other arriving. When all these things happened, the rishis are subtle vision they have more. Sushma darshita, Kranda darshis they are called. They can see things at a much deeper level. Because of that deeper understanding or realization inside, they said that we are not going to say anything. There is a higher plan operating. What can we do? We have no instruction to get involved in any way. We are here because we have been brought here by the Antaryami inside. And only thing they knew that something is going to happen now. And in this riverbank, all of them are sitting here and Parikshit is sitting there. And Parikshit is looking at the rishis and asking this question, please instruct me, what is the goal? What is the goal? So it was at that time this situation happened. What is that? Tatra bhavan Bhagavan Vyasa Putra Yadrchayagam Adamano Anapekshaha Alakshalingo Nijalabhatushto Vadastri Balairavadhuta Veshaha. Tatra bhavan, every word in that verse is special. Special in the sense, it's not the normal way you will present somebody has arrived there. The way it says here, Tatra bhavat Bhagavan, he says, Tatra bhavat Bhagavan Vyasaputra. Abhavat. Abhavat means that it happened, he says. It doesn't say Shiva Brahmarshi has come. It happened. It just happened like that. That even the name is not mentioned that Sudeva Goswami had come or Shiva Brahmarshi had come. Why is the reason? Reason is, the system is that you don't say the name of the spiritual master. That is the etiquette among them, among the rishis and among the great personalities. That not even the name was mentioned. No, Namarube. That because he is the spiritual master for Sudha Goswami, that is the reason, because these are all coming from Sudha Goswami's words. Shubramashi has not started talking yet. It is still Sudha Goswami speaking. What happened then? So he is saying here, Tatra abhavat Bhagavan Vyasa Putra. It just happened. What happened there? That Sudha Goswami, if you look all over Bhagavatam, Sudha Goswami will never say Sudha Goswami's name anywhere. He won't say. That is his style. He does not feel that. But instead of saying Sudha Goswami's name, he used his father's name and son, his son. See that? Tatra bhavat Bhagavan Vyasaputro Vyasadeva's son. That's how he used it. Instead of saying Sudeva Goswami, he says, because he is his teacher, his guru, he doesn't want to mention that. Vyasaputro. Bhagavan Vyasaputro. Bhagavan Vyasa Maharshi is Bhagavan, isn't it? No, his son. How does he wander around in this world? He is a very special person. Yadruchayagam Adamano Anabeksha. That Gam Adamano Anabeksha. The way he wanders around in this world, just like you can see sometimes these dry leaves in the wind, how it goes. If the wind goes in one way, it will go that way. If the wind blows in another way, the leaf will go in that way. That is the way Shukha Brahmarshi is in this world. No fixed residence, no attachment anywhere, will move whichever way Krishna takes him. To that extent, surrendered inside. No connection anywhere, in other words. Practically no relationship anywhere. Always established in the blissfulness of the soul. The happiness of the soul. That is where he is living. He is not looking for anything from this world. No happiness from this world. Tatragam tatra bhavad bhagavan vyasaputro yadrachaya. Yadrachaya means by accident, or yadrachaya, by whose icha? Krishna's desire. Krishna's icha. It has happened. Gam adamano anabhekshaham. Said that he doesn't have any speciality with any place. Time, place, these things have no bearing on him. It doesn't have any impact on him. So, just like the wind is blowing according to Krishna's plan, is it not? The wind is blowing according to Krishna's plan. So, in that way, this Krishna's decisions, whichever way it takes him, wherever it takes him, he will go along with that. He would not say, he is not particular about anything in this world. Not particular about anything in this world, that's him. So, wherever the body, his body, wherever is taken, he will go there in that way. So, and that what has happened here also. All the rishis who are present there, they are keeping quiet when he arrived there. Because they don't see him normally also. They don't get an opportunity to see him either. So, and the list of people who are mentioned there, you can see they are not ordinary people, are they? Atri, Vasishtha, the Saptarishis are present there. Arishtanemi, Bhrigu, Angiras, every one of them on their own, they are realized souls, all of them. So when an assembly happens like this, full of realized personalities, you can see what happens. What happens? That this is the difference. Only when you get to read this Bhagavatam, you will understand that in the assembly of the great personalities, especially on a self-realized state, how they interact each other. How they interact each other. that he comes there and he stood there. Who? Shukadeva Brahmarshi comes and stands there. And it is at that time, Sudha Goswami could not resist himself. He was feeling this while talking to Shavanagrishi and others. He was feeling what Shukha Brahmarshi had given to him, what he got from him. So the gratitude, there is nowhere else you can repay that gratitude, because Sudha Goswami wrote Srimad Bhagavatam from, he got it from Shukha Brahmarshi, isn't it? So that is why he is saying here, inside it was such a strong feeling building up. And he says there, nobody has invited him to come here. No. Yadrachaya. Nobody expected him there. Yadrachayam gam adamano anabhekshaha. He is wandering around the whole creation, wherever he wants to go. And you can never say where he will come and where he won't come. You can never say about it. He has no plans, no itinerary. Sometimes you see, they have itineraries, isn't it? All clearly marked, the ticket book for the flight from this place to that place to that place. Accommodation arranged, pickup arranged, everything arranged, all through the whole program for 2014, 2015, like that. The realized souls don't do that. They have no plan. they are so free from everything. So, sometimes he will travel in this world, and he is not bound anywhere. You can never catch him anywhere. So, once you look at this world, you can see. The sun is there, the earth planet is rotating, isn't it? All based on a time schedule. time schedule, isn't it? It's all fixed. And you look that there is an order in everything. Similarly, so Earth relationship with the Sun planet, there is a system. That's what it is operating. There is an orbit already set up. And therefore we have day and night. And that's the time, sunrise, sunset, everything we say. Earth is revolving around the Sun. Similarly, you can also see that Moon also, around the Earth, it is rotating. And we can see that there is a proper order in which it is operating. Similarly, all the planets also in this world, they are operating in the same way. Otherwise, the system won't be working like the way it is working. This is with the world. With the self-realized souls, these rules don't apply. These rules don't apply. So, you can see everything in a very rhythmic way. In a rhythm, it is all operating here. But in this whole creation, sometimes you find suddenly a comet comes. Or a, what do they say, other one? Meteor. Meteor. Comets or meteors. They come and they don't have any clear direction, have they? Planets have got a orbit, a path already fixed. Earth has got a path already fixed. And Sun has got a path already fixed. Moon has got, and all the stars also, they have their own fixed positions in which they have to operate within that. But the realized personalities, they don't belong to any one of these group. They are like the comets and the meteors. They come and they'll go, come and go. And it has got full freedom to do what they want to do. Where it will appear, where it will disappear, you will never know. And that is their state. And that means they are not limited to within a circle like others are. Earth planet is rotating within a circle, isn't it? It has got its own orbit, in other words. Similarly, other planets also. But you can't impose any rules and regulations on them. On the realized persons. Angiras is like that. You have seen in the Bhagavatam, they'll appear when they want. And they told Chitrakedu when they came to see him, to bless them. Chitrakedu said, he's sitting there with his, wants his son. Wants a son, he says. Chitrakedu. So Angiras tried to tell him a lot of things, he wouldn't listen. So finally he gave him the blessing that you will have a son who will give you all happiness and will give you equal, more than that, more distress later. Chitrakedu didn't listen to that part of it, he only listened to the first part. He took it seriously. And then afterwards when the baby died, after a year or so, again Angiras appears there. Tam sarvabhuta hridayam nimanatosmi. When we have reached that state, Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swarupam, this is the state. Not bound by any rules or law of this nature, on them, completely free from the modes of nature, completely free from the laws of nature. So, and similarly, they are so free that there is no attraction or repulsion in them, in anything. And no forces, no attraction forces, no repulsive forces, they can't do anything with them. And anything what we do in this world, there is always an attraction or a repulsion from that. Is it not? Have you noticed that? Whatever we do in this world, there is always some force of attraction or some force of repulsion behind it. But they have come out of those forces. These personalities, they have come out of those forces, and where they will go, how they will go, what will they say, very difficult to predict that. You will see the same thing when King Nimi was there, then Navayogis came there. They suddenly appeared in front of them one day and there was a conversation about them. And how they will bless anyone, that is also difficult to say. They themselves don't know who the Rishi is. They also do not know. Why is that? Because they don't have a mind. And because they don't have a mind, there is no sankalpam also. Only if you have a mind, there will be sankalpam. Like we are doing now. Why? We plan everything, meticulously everything. Why? Because there is a mind inside. And because there is a mind, there is a sankalpam. If I don't plan, this will happen, that will happen. So I keep planning everything day after day after day. Where there is a mind, there is a sankalpam. But rishis have no mind and they have no sankalpam either. Sankalpam means that they don't have any what do they say, resolve or any kind of plan making doesn't happen. Completely dependent on the niyati. Niyati means destiny, means Krishna's plan, living that way. That is their life. They are existing completely dependent on Krishna's plans. So, at that plan, wherever it takes them, they will go there. That body will go there. That is their state. That is their state. Why do they go there? They don't have any goal either. Because niyati or destiny is taking them there, not for the sake of money or for the sake of any kind of recognition or for nothing. Nothing. There is no reason behind their journey. Behind their journey. That's why all those words there. See, what he says here? That Tatra Bhavat Bhagavan Vyasaputro Yadrachayagam Adamano Anabeksha. Anabeksha. Anabeksha means he has no particular plans. He has no particular goal. Nothing. It's a different thing than what I'm saying is that in spiritual life, you can't make plans. Plans won't work. Okay, from 25 years I'll chant 16 rounds and I'll realize the self. Can anybody say that? No. Nothing will work. Krishna will make us learn one day that our plan making is all useless. That is the way it is. So that's exactly what's happening here. To show to us, this is how these great souls live. That's their life. No plans and no mind. No sankalpam inside, and gam adamano anaveksha, no desires. Whatever happens will happen. Krishna is doing everything. Why should I worry? This is there. That I, ahankaram itself is gone completely from inside. It's only the external body that is moving around, but inside is full of realizations. That nitya shuddha buddha vastu swarupam. Anaveksha, alakshalingam. Alakshalingam means, so if you look at him, Shukam Brahmarshi, Alakshalingam. Alakshalingam means, by looking at him, you can't say which category he belongs to. Whether he's a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya or a Shudra. Or whether he's a Brahmachari, Grahastham, Vanaprastham or Sannyasam. Very difficult to say. That's the way he is. You can't even say, you can't put him into any category, anywhere. And you can't even say whether he's male or female. Yadrachaya gam adamano anabeksha. That is why those words are important. Alakshalingam. Even the lingam you can't specify whether he is a man or a woman. Alakshalingam. Then what else? Nijalabhatushtam. Nijalabhatushto vrudastri bhale avadudha veshaha. Avadudha veshaha. Then, therefore, that there was no sign of anything in him, then in which category he belonged to, and what he is, and his goal is also not known. What his intention is coming here. Nothing is known to anybody. And that is why these people are called generally Atyashrami. Atyashrami means one who has gone beyond the Varnam and Ashramam. There is a category of people called Atyashrami. Atyashrami means one who is no more belong to any Varnam or Ashramam. Varnashrama Dharmam is finished for them. And they are called Atyashrami. And they are not controlled. Because their spiritual state is such, they are like this way. Never controlled by any law, controlled by any of our social etiquette or whatever. We have rules in this world. Nothing affects them because there is no mind inside, there is no sankalpam inside. As far as they are concerned, that body is moving around in this world according to Krishna's plan. And Krishna will decide what should happen through that body. Now Krishna has decided that Sudeva Goswami should speak Srimad Bhagavatam, so Bhagavatam came out from him. That's why at the end of the Bhagavatam, you remember that verse, Kasmayena Vibhasido Yamadulo Jnana Pradiva Pura Tadruvena Janaradaya Munaye Krishnaya Tadruvina Yogindraya Tadatmanada Bhagavadradaya Karyamyadam Tashuddham Vimalam Vishogam Amritam Satyam Param Dhimahi. That verse is indicating to that. Their state, that is what we have to look at. Not what dress he was wearing, whether he was having a silk saffron clothes or whether it was danda inside, that is not important. Important thing is, what was the state of consciousness? Looking at the consciousness, you understand that this was a personality who is already in that state, in that higher state. So we'll have a short break now. Chedo darpanam arjanam bhavamaha davagni nirvapanam shreyakaitava chandriya vidaranam vidhyavadhu jivanam anandam budivardhanam pradipada purnamrita swadhanam sarvatna suvanam param vijayve shri krishna sangirtanam namnamadari bahuda nija sarva shakti tatra arpidani vida smaranena kala edadrishi tava kripa bhagavan mamabhi durdaiva medrishamiha janimanuragaham tranarabhi shunichena tarorabhi sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari nadhanam na janam na sundarim kavidamba jagadishakamaye mama janmani janmani ishwari bhavadat bhaktirahe dugitvai aye nanda danu jakingaram patitam hamshame bhavambudau kripaya tava pada pangaja sthita dhuli sadrasham vichindaya nayanam galada shrudharaya padanam gadyadarudhaya gira pulagar nijidam gadavabo tavan nama grahane bhavishyati yugayidam nimeshena chakshusha pravishayidam shunyayidam jagal sarvam govinda vrahe name ashleshyava padaradam vinashtumam adarshanam marmahadam karotuva yathathadava vidadhadulam vedo malpranamatha suna evanabaram tatro bhavan tatra abhavat bhagavan vyasa putro yadrachayagam adamano anabekshah alakshalingo nijalapadushto budhastri bhalai avadhudavesah. So you can see that the state of consciousness of these personalities, Shubramarshi, how he is. Bhagavatam has taken special many verses to explain to us who is Shukabrahmarshi. Who is Shukabrahmarshi? Is he Krishna, Vedavyasa Maharshi's son? That's on the bodily level again, isn't it? Bhagavan Vyasa Putra. But Yadurchayangam Adamano Anavekshaham. That nobody can say about him anything. Where he will come, where he will go, how he will relate with others, completely free. This is called freedom. This is the freedom what spiritual life is talking about. Our freedom is what? Our freedom, we fight for freedom, we get independence and all that, isn't it? This is the freedom the way we think about freedom. But from spiritual point of view, freedom means this: freedom from the body, freedom from the mind, freedom from the senses, and freedom from the ego. This is all what is called real freedom. Krishna's way of explaining freedom is that: freedom from the body, freedom from the mind, freedom from the senses, freedom from the ego. That is real freedom. Not the freedom what we talk about in this world, isn't it? Alakshalingo nijalapatushto budhastri bhalai avadhudhavesah. Alakshalinga means you couldn't say anything about him. What is his form? So therefore they are called Atyashrami. Atyashrami means they don't belong to any ashrama. No varnam, no ashram. They are called Atyashrami. So, because only if you have some symptom or some symbol in the body to show who you are. If you are a Brahmana, you have a thread or you have a tuft hair. And nothing. Even that doesn't, no thread either, and no tuft of hair either. So he is not a Brahmana either. Kshatriya means you will have that Kshatriya nature in him. That's also not there. Nor any symptoms of a Vaishya or a Shudra. None of them. Gone beyond all the ashrama dharma or varna dharma or ashrama dharma. He has gone beyond than that. That's what it is saying here. That because only when you think that you are this body, only then you become a man or a woman or a householder or a sannyasi or a brahmachari, all these things. When you know that you are not this body, remember we discussed Hastamalaka before, exactly the same stage. What did he say there? He said, Naham Manushyo, remember that word, second verse. Naham Manushyo na Deva Yakshao, na Brahmana Kshatriya Vaishya Shudraha, na Brahmachari, na Grihi Vanastho, Bichurna Deham, Bichurna Chaham, Nija Bodha Rupam, I am pure consciousness. The second verse in the Hastamalaka Gita, which we discussed before. He said that, isn't it? He said, Naham Manushyo, I am not a human body. Naja Deva Yaksha, I am not a demigod or a yaksha or whatever. Naham Manushyo, Naja Deva Yaksha, Na Brahmana Kshatriya Vaishya Shudra, Na Brahmachari, Na Grihi Vanastho. Brahmachari, Bhikshur na Chaham, I am not a sannyasi either. Then what am I? Nija Bhodarubam, I am pure consciousness. Why this Sudha Goswami state is that? Pure consciousness. Whatever form that appears to us in our eyes, it has no significance as far as he is concerned. That form can change always. So, when a person is like that, in which category will you put him? When a person is like Nija Bodha Rupam. So which category will you put him? Because he is gone beyond all these material designations. Alakshalingam. Alakshalingam means that normally, usually I'm saying that if one does not belong to any of these, he will be considered crazy, isn't he? He'll be a crazy category. But because you can be like that also. One crazy people are also like that, isn't it? They won't accept anything. No. Generally, we all try to fit in some slot. Somewhere we try to fit in. But these lot, they don't fit in anywhere. So we will call them crazy. We'll call them crazy. But if are they like that? No. That is why he says here, Nija Labha Tushto. They are not crazy. Why is it like that? That they have got the greatest profit in life. Nobody else has got that, what they have got. Because that when you look at them, you will realize it. They are completely satisfied inside. Total fulfillment, shanti and knowledge is present in them. And perfection, purnada, is present in them. Nijalabha tushta, is I say. Alakshalingo, nijalabha tushta. All these words are important to explain to us what does a self-realization means. This is self-realization means. He has realized it, what the truth is. So the after effect of all that is this. And then he says, Vridastri bhalai avadudha vesha. Could along with them, who else is present there? A group of children, small children have come with him. And avadudha vesha. Avadudha vesha means, avadudhas don't have any dress. No code, dress code. Whereas brahmachari, grahastham, vanaprastham, sannyasam, they all have dress code, isn't it? You have to wear the dhoti in a particular way, saffron, and then and householder should have a white dhoti, very well ironed and nicely washed by the wife and handed over to you every morning to wear. So that's householder's freedom. And sannyasi, yes, also all this silk saffron and with the danda, that is his vesham. So like this, vesham is defined for everybody. But avadudha has no dress code. He doesn't fall. Any dress is okay for him. Whatever dress he wants to wear. So that is what exactly that word means. Avadudhanam. Avadudhanam means wiping out everything. All designations. That's what it means. That cleaning up everything. Avadudha veshaha. That means one who has wiped out all his dress. Not only the external dress, including the body, mind, everything is considered to be a dress on the self. Isn't it? The self is pure consciousness. You have put all these clothes on it, on top of the other. The body, the mind, the intelligence, the ego, these are all the dresses, what you have put on to that. And then after that, on the gross body, you have put other clothes as well, which is what we call as the different designations, bodily designations. The wiping out all of them, not only the external clothes, including the body, mind, everything, that means you have come free from everything, he is called avadhuta. He's called Avatar. Jadabharata was like that. Rishabhadev was like that. Dattatreya was like that. Shukubrahmarshi was like that. Avadhuta state is that. You will see, when you read Bhagavatam, you will see about, if you read through fifth canto, you will see both Rishabhadev as well as Jadabharata were like this. Isn't it? Jada Unmatta Pishachavad, it says. Mukha Amtha Badira Jada Unmatta Pishachavad. They will walk around in this world. Mukham, they will dumb sometimes. Antham, sometimes they are blind. Badira, sometimes they can't hear. Bhoga, Badira, Unmatta, sometimes they are intoxicated. Looks as though they are intoxicated. Unmatta Pishachavad. And if you look at their dress, you'll think that it is some Pishachavad. Pishachavad means like a devil. No restrictions on the body is concerned. No dress code. No necessity. Either the hair will be left loose or will be grown. No shaved, nothing. And body could be very dirty. Very dirty. Full of mud or soil completely. Clothes also very dirty. That's what happened to Jadabhadra when they saw him. That's how they identified him. Recommended like that. No bathing, nothing. Body, connection with the body is gone completely for them. That is what it is said like that. So sometimes there will be some clothes on their body because the society needs it. Society, they don't need it. Society needs it. Therefore they have put on some clothes because there is no attachment to the body anymore. Body is not anymore an issue for them. We cover ourselves with all the clothes on and we want to impress others, and that is how we are. And for them whom they want to impress, there's nothing to be impressed here. So that is a different state. And not restriction at all, what they should wear, what they shouldn't wear. So there was many, many sannyasis like this. There was one Dandiswami who was called. He was like this. Sometimes when you go and see him, there was no clothes on in the body. He was not completely unaffected by anything, what was going on. And another day when you go and see him, he was fully dressed. He's sitting there fully dressed. So therefore, Avadhuta, you cannot give him any uniform. We have a uniform, isn't it? Which school you are going to, so you should have that blazer to show that which school you are going to, with typed here, wherever, printed out. So when others look at you, you know whom you belong to. So here, Alakshya Lingam Nijalabha Tushtam Vridastri Bhalai Avadhuta Vesham. Avadhuta Vesham. Avadhuta he is, he doesn't have anything. So sometimes Avadhutas may put one Kaupinam or the Brahmanas Brahmachari dress. He may put that on. So you should not think that, oh, that is his dress. That is also wrong. He's not bound by any dress, isn't it? One day Maharshi was like that for a long time in his later life. Ramana Maharshi was like that. So somebody came up to him and told him that, feeling sorry for him. Oh, you couldn't afford a dhoti. Is that why you're only having this Brahmachari Kaupinam? He said. So Maharshi says to him that, what can I do? He said, society wants all these things. I'm putting it on, therefore. Therefore I'm putting it on. And otherwise, even that was not necessary for him. That is knowledge. That is realization of the self. Alpajnani. So because, as long as you have upadhi bandham, upadhi means you have connection with the body, mind, intelligence, ego, senses and all that. One who have come out of the upadhi and who does not think that they are the upadhi. If you think you are the upadhi, then you need all these things. Instead, if you have realized that you are Alma, Alma Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Suryubam, Nitya Bodha Ryubam, as he says, such a person is called Avadhuta. He's called Avadhuta. So this Avadhuta has come here. Who? Sukadeva Goswami. Shiva Brahmashi has arrived there. And that is why it says here, Yadrachaya, Nijalabha Tushtaha. When they looked at him, he had no clothes, nothing on, but he sat there, he came out and stood there, and everybody looked at him, but when they looked at him, what did they see? A personality with fully satisfied, total shanti, peace inside, fulfillment inside, and also And he has no desires anything. When you look at somebody, you can see sometimes certain people, total shanti inside, peace inside. When he saw that, Upanishad says, Atmalabhana paro labha, yet sukhana parasukham, yet jnanana param jnanam, yet labhana paro labha. About his state. Upanishad puts it like this. He says, Atmalabho na para labha. There is no higher profit than knowledge of the self. That's their state. Yel sukha na param sukham. There is no higher happiness than this happiness of the self. Yel jnana na param jnanam. There is no other higher knowledge than this knowledge of the self. Yel labhan na paro labha. There is no higher profit than this realizing the self. So that perfection, that profit or labham, completely they have got it in their life, and after they have got it, what do they need from the world outside? They don't need anything anymore from this world. Why are we like this? Because we are still want to get something from this world. But if you have come to realize that I don't need anything from this world, and all the happiness what you are looking for has found from the self, then you are not a beggar anymore. Otherwise we are all beggars, isn't it? Still looking for something from this world, make me happy one way or the other. So that is that perfection what he is talking about here. Alaksha lingo nijalabhadushto pradastribhalai ravadudavesha avadudavesham. And because higher than any other thing is this internal fulfillment, perfection inside, satisfaction, total satisfaction, shanti inside, no more desires anymore from outside. I have to achieve something. Remember, in the Vidyarani Swami mentions that what all kinds we have. We want to achieve something, we want to know something. There are 8 things that he talks about there. When all those 8 things are freed from that, then that is the state of avadhuta state mentions. We have talked about that before also. So that is why realized soul, they are the emperors in this world. They live in their empire because they don't need anything from this world. And Krishna also, when you come to Bhakti Margam, Krishna says niravaksham. Niravaksham. No aveksha. No want anything. Niravaksham munim shandam nuruvairam samadarshinam anuprajamyaham nityam puyaye trankri renubhi in the Bhagavatam. Krishna says to Uddhava, did he not? He says, they are the devotees who have no desire. Muni, thoughtful, they are. Very thoughtful. Shandam, always in the peaceful state. Ravaksham, Nurvairam, no enmity towards another living being. Because as far as they are concerned, so many living entities doesn't exist. It is Jiva what we call, that it doesn't exist in them. As far as they are concerned, only Atma is present. Jiva is not present for them. Nurvairam samadarshinam. Therefore, because they are seeing everything from the platform of the soul, samadarshinam, equal vision. When you see somebody as a jiva, there is always differences. When you see everyone as an alpa, there is no differences. Nurvairam samadarshinam. Krishna is saying, anuprajami aham nityam. I follow them, he says. Puyaye tyangri renubhi. I take the dust from their feet to purify myself. It's in the Bhagavatam, you can see that. So, this is that state of, in the bhakti process when you say, you see, practically, bhakti and jnanam is not different. In vyavaharam level, we separate it as bhakti and jnanam. But once you come to the realization level, there is no difference between bhakti and jnanam. It is a misconception in many people's mind. Oh, he is following the jnana margam, I am following bhakti margam. That is all, in the vyavaharam level, yes, you will say. Why? Because the process is different ways it is done. It's done in a different way. Jnana Margam is done in one way, Bhakti Margam is done in a different way. But whatever it may be, in the realization level, Bhakti and Jnanam has no difference. Bhakti and Jnanam has no difference. That's the important thing. That is why when somebody says that, oh, Jnana Margam is this, Jnana Margam is that. Yes, Margam may be like that. But realization level, where is the difference? There is no difference. You can see all these personalities who has been quoted in the Srimad Bhagavatam, like Dattatreya, like Rishabhadev, like Jatabharata. They were not totally following the Bhakti Margam, were they? They were following the Jnana Margam, very much so in the Jnana Margam. But if you read their realizations, it's full of bhakti. Is it not? If you look at Rishabhadev's statements, teachings, and if you look into Jatabharata's teachings with Rahugana, full of bhakti that is. So bhakti and jnanam, it's only in the vyavaharam level there is a difference. In the realization level, there is no difference. It's all one thing. But for making it easier for the beginners, all of us, it has been spoken in that way. So, jnanis are the great personalities. They are the realized souls. For their empire is bigger than the ordinary empire of this world, empires of this world. Remember that story about Swami Ramatirtha's life. When he went to America, when he was there, Ramatirtha was there in America, near the Sacramento River, where he spent, if you look, read his books, you will see there, how he spent his time there. And ordinary, he will never say his name. He won't say I. He will never use that word I. He will say Rama. Rama does this. Rama said this. Rama said that. And instead of saying I, he will always use the word Rama. He left this world very early in his life. He was a mathematics lecturer in the Lahore University. And he was about 27 years old then. By 31, he has left this working life in this world, completely taken to sannyasam, and eventually he gave up his body somewhere in the Himalayas. That is how the books that has been come out later spoken about him. So, in one instance, he was so well known at that time that President of the United States came to see him, Roosevelt. Roosevelt came to see him, and the other people who were with him, the Americans who were with him at that time, they told him that when the president comes, don't say like this, Rama is that, all that. So, at least to the president, you should say I. Otherwise, it will be taken in a wrong way. When they said that to him, Ramatirtha smiled after hearing that. So, when president came and started the conversation, Ramatirtha says to him, Emperor Rama, he said. Up to this time, he didn't say even that. He only used to say Rama. But now he says, Emperor Rama wants this. After self-realization, what is this world for them? Who cares about this world? Who cares about American president or British prime minister or Indian prime minister? Nothing. It is all in the ajnanam stage, all these things, in vyavaharam, these matters. But after you have come out of this body, and you come out of the mind, intelligence, senses, ego and all that gone away from you, Ubadhi Sambandham has gone. Ubadhis have gone away. And after that, would you be caring about all these things? What goes on here? So that is why when he said this Emperor Rama is like this, Emperor Rama is like that, President Roosevelt was amused. Who is this empire he is talking about? Man doesn't have a place to sleep even. Lying on the riverbank there. Instead of Ganga River, it was Sacramento River. There he was lying there. So he asked him, which is this empire you are talking about? Roosevelt asked him. So Ramatirtha says to him, your empire lasts only 4 years, he said. But my empire is a permanent empire, he said. It takes a time for people to capture this thing. Suppose all the time you are busy with the world, how we will understand the spiritual side of life? You will never hear about it, would you? You'll always be thinking everything in terms of what we are used to here. So, he says here that in my empire, the earth, the sun, the moon, the stars, the mountains, the rivers, they all exist, he said. Your empire is only limited to these 26 states or whatever it is present there. He says, that's your empire. But my empire is a lot bigger than that, he says. So, in this way, Ramatirtha's word, this is what is called Nijalabha Tushtaha. See that word? Alakshalingo Nijalabha Tushtaha. Because of the knowledge of the self, that complete fulfillment and perfection inside. That's what it is. Perfect inside. Just like a complete full moon. It is standing there. when he came over, when Shubhramashi arrived there, there were a lot of children with him, had come with him. They saw him, they thought that he is, when a person who is walking around like a crazy looking person, children will find fun with that, would they not? So they followed him. And he was playing with these children also. who are accompanying him. So that is another thing. These personalities, when they are with the children, they can act like children. They can act like children. When they are with the realized souls, like the rishis, they will be like the rishis. Because there is no identification with anything, anywhere. According to wherever they are, in whichever situation they are put into, they will act in that particular way. So, there is one book called Jivan Mukta Lahari. If you read that, that a jnani, a realized soul, his nature is spoken in that book. And if he meets a scholarly person, he will be a scholar. If he meets a young man, he will be like a young man. If he is with children, he will be like a child. And if he is with an older person, he will be like an older person. So, because bodily identification is not there anymore. I'm not this body anymore. So only when we have, for example, we see, I feel I'm an older person. Why? Because I'm thinking I'm an older person. And the bodily identification again, is it not? Similarly, I feel, when you feel young, you feel you're identifying with your youthful body. You feel like a child, you're identifying the child's body. So none of them is affecting him. It's all due to the mind inside, which creates that impression inside. So, so therefore, this you will notice in the association of the great personalities. You will see the similar incidents in many, many great personalities' life. Ramakrishna's life also it happened, Ramana Maharshi's life also it has happened. One family came to see Ramana Maharshi once, and they had a little child with them. So it so happened that they went to some temples somewhere, and the child was clean shaven, completely shaved up. So when the child came with the parents to see Ramana Maharshi, that day it happened to be Purnami day. And on that particular day, many of people, they shave up the head, completely shaved up. So this child found out very interesting to see Maharshi sitting there fully shaved up. So he stands saying, here is another one like me, he said. The child saying to him, and telling everybody else, is another one like me who has shaved up everything. Whereas normally people keep their hair, because hair is a decoration, isn't it, for this normal society. So anyway, he said this. Maharshi took it in a nice way. He said, yes, I am. There's more going to come, he said. After a while, few more people came. And the whole day, Maharshi and this child were counting who are all shaved up. How many of them are shaved up? And they were having fun together. So this is the nature of them, that once they have come out of the body, deha sambandham, deha upadhi has gone away. Then what is happening in this body, like the way we feel about the body. We are very particular, isn't it? The suit, the tie, and the everything what we put on has to be perfect. And we look at the mirror from all sides. We have got now mirror in the front and all sides mirror also, isn't it? And look everywhere that everything is perfect before we walk out. You want to make sure that the world look at you in the proper way and recognizes your clothes and dress, what you have got. But for them what? What is there to show to the world? As far as they are concerned, the world doesn't exist. And this is the state of affairs here. So when they are with the children, they are like that. And here, look at the way they put about his age. Tam drashtavarsham sugumarapadam karyorubakvam sakapolagatram charvayadakshonna sadulyakarnam subhrananam kambusujadakantham. This is the form is presenting. Tvam drashtavarsham. Ashtavarsham means 8. Dvashta means 2 times 8. 16. 16 years old. He looks 16 years old. Tvam drashtavarsham. So, that tvam drashtavarsham, he mentions there, that Sukhabrahmashi is saying here, that he has come, looked 16 years old. If you look at the body, it will appear as though he is 16 years old. So, when they looked at his body, all his hands and legs gave that impression, around 16 years old. And what else he says? Karyoru bahum sa kapola gatram charvaya dakshonna sa tulya karnam subhrananam kambu sujada kantam. Kambu sujada kandam. Just like if you take gold, And if you heat it up in the fire, it has a color, isn't it? Very golden color. That pure gold, how it melted gold, how it looks when gold is put into the fire, and if you heat it to high temperatures, that gold gets a color and the impurities goes away. That beautiful form, that color, he had that color when he got in, when he came in. And when he got inside, that means he's glowing effulgence from him, effulgence coming out from him. And all of them around were all rishis, sages were sitting there. As soon as he came in, they all got up. They all got up from their seats. But suddenly they couldn't know who he is. They didn't know who it was. Only thing is, they all got up. It says there, Shyamam sadabi chavayogam lakshmiya strinam manojyam rujirasmi dena. 28. Pratyuktidasi munayaswa sanebhyam tallakshanajnyam abhi guda varchasam. Shyamam sadapi chavayoga lakshmiyam strinam manujyam rujirasmidena. Pratyuktidasi munayaswa sanebhyam tallakshanajnyam abhi guda varchasam. Guda varchasam. Every word here has a lot packaged into it. He says here, the reason why they got up was, when they saw him, all the rishis realized they want to be like him. And that is the destination they are looking for. Shukabrahma Rishi said, obviously to show to us that he was on a higher level than anybody else who was present there. And that is the reason why they got up. You get up because you see somebody is respectful. You have to be respectful to someone whom you see is on a higher position than yourself, then you naturally get up, is it not? So that's what they have done. And lakshanajnaha, he says there, sa lakshanajna. By seeing the symptoms only, they understood that he is on a higher level. Abhi guda varchasam. They could find out by seeing him that this is not an ordinary person like us. They thought, although rishis are also higher, rishis are also on a higher level, self-realization. But the state where Shubhramarshi is on a far higher than that. So, because they all know the symptoms of a liberated soul. That is why they were able to, get up. Actually, they are all liberated souls. But they are keeping that covered. But here, Shukabrahma Rishi's case, even if he tries to keep it covered, it cannot be. It is coming out. And this is always in the history. You will not observe this in many, many great personalities. They will not be able to keep it covered, their realization. It will come out. Somehow or the other, it will come out. It won't be able to. They will not be able to. For example, this Ramadrutta's case, and many others. Even though the world will try, in front of the world you may think they don't have to reveal it to the world who they are. But the world, somebody will identify it, who they are. Because of the effulgence and the realization that's coming from them. So that's what it is saying here. That sushma darshitam. Sushma darshi means one who can see things in a much subtle level, they will identify that. They will identify it. So that is why it is mentioned here. They identified him who he is. Sa lakshanajnyam abhi gudavarchasam, he says there. Lakshanajnyam abhi gudavarchasam. By seeing the symptoms, lakshanam, or by seeing the symptom, they identified who he is. Gudavarchasam. Gudavarchasam means who is inside that form. They identified who is inside the form. By seeing the symptom, they identified. Not like we do. Oh, we take the visiting card and say, this, meet me. I'm executive director of this company or that company. There is no introduction necessary for them. No introduction. Without introduction, they knew who he is. They understood. By the lakshanajnya, abhi gudavarchasam. Through lakshanam, they have understood. Through their symptoms, gudavarchasam. Then, that's what he's saying here, that if you see, sam samvradasatra mahan mahiyasam brahmarshi rajarshi devarshi sanghehi Virojatalam Bhagavan Yadhendur Graharchadarani Garei Paritaha Sam Samvradastatravahan Mahiyasam Brahmarshi Rajarshi Devarshi Sankhehi Virojatalam Bhagavan Yadhendur Graharchadarani Garei Paritaha. As soon as they saw him, Parikshit Maharaj got up, paid his obeisances to him straight away. That is Parikshit. See, straight away he got up and paid his obeisances. And and he started offering his respects to him, started glorifying him. And all the rishis who were present there, they came closer and stood next to him. And they stood there in such a way as though you have seen something like an amazing thing. Suppose when you see something very amazing, what will you do? You'll go and stand there and look at that person, staring, isn't it? So same thing happened here. They all came and surrounded Shubhramarshi, stood there and started looking at him, as though some amazing thing has happened. That's why. Prashanda, now look at Shubhramarshi. What is he like? Prashanda ma sina makuntha medhasam munim nrvo bhagavado bhivetyaha pranamya mudhavahila kridanjalir natu agira sumradayanya prachad prashanda ma sina makuntha medhasam munim nrvo bhagavado bhivetya pranamya mudhavahila kridanjalir natu agira sumradayanya prachad. Have you noticed one thing? This statement about Shubhramarshi and the statement when Vidura met Maitreya, very similar. When Vidura went to see Maitreya, what did they say there? If you look into the third canto, you will see. Maitreya masina maghada bodham, says there. If you look into the third canto, first visit itself. These are the people whom we should look up to for spiritual life. They have got it. And they are telling us this is like, it is like this. Look at that verse. If you look into the third canto, the Vidura's visit to, and this is the third chapter. First verse. Exactly like this. Dvaridvinadhyam shabakurunam. Maitreya masinam akhada bodham. Akhada bodham. Akhada bodham means deep realized state. Deeply realized state. Chatto musritya achyuta bhava shuddhaha papracha saushilya guna vidaptaha. So, very similar in the same way. Maitreya Maharshi, Shubhramarshi. Practically no difference in this state. So, he says also here that how is here mentioned there? Prashanda masina makuntha medhasam munim nrubo bhagavado bhivetya pranamya mudhna vahida kridanjalir natva viro sunradayanya prachayam. That, he says there that Brahmam is a wonderful thing, Brahmam. And Brahmam also is feeling that wonderful experience. Brahmam realization itself is a wonderful experience. And the person who wants to realize Brahmam is also a wonderful person, wonderful experience. Everything is amazing, all of them. Brahmam is amazing, Brahmam realization is amazing, and the person who wants to realize Brahmam or who has realized Brahmam is also amazing because they are all Brahmam. Brahmam is amazing. Brahmam realization is amazing. And the person who wants to realize Brahmam is also amazing. That's what it is. Brahmavid Brahmam Bhavadi. One who has realized Brahmam becomes Brahmam. So, Brahmam's nature. And the person who wants to realize Brahmam is also amazing because just like a full moon, when it is surrounded by the stars, in a similar way. He sat there in the front, in the middle. That is what he is saying there. Prashanda masina makuntha medhasam munim nrubo bhagavado bhubetya pranamya mudhna vahida kridanjalir natu agiram sunradayanu prachvan. So, something like a ocean or a sea where there is no waves, completely full. Like when the ocean is full, And it is very peaceful. There is no waves there. And in his realization, there is no waves. It is so settled inside, in self-realization, that there is no more waves building up inside. Our state, imagine, only waves there. There is no water. Is it not? We are full of waves. And Shiva Brahmarshi Jai says there, that prashandam asinam akuntam etasam. And munim nrbo bhagavado bhivetya. Due to self-realization, there is no more waves inside. Like a sea which has no waves, it is like that inside. It's like that inside. And akuntam etasam munim nrbaha. So, up to this point, Sudha Goswami was saying, King, Parikshit, and all these things. Sudha Goswami was saying like that, isn't it? The moment Parikshit fell down at Shiva Brahmarshi's feet, and then Sudha Goswami has changed his name. He says, Bhagavado Bhivetya. He's called Bhagavadam from now on. The moment he has fallen at Shiva Brahmarshi's lotus feet and took his shelter, from then on he is not Parikshit anymore. He is not king anymore. He has become Bhagavatam. That's the beginning of his becoming the Bhagavatam. His name has changed. And therefore you can't say him anymore as Parikshit or king. Can't say him like that. That's what he says here. That natva girasun radayanu prachat. That is how he started, with a lot of love and devotion, complete devotion, that and he is asking Sukadeva Goswami, who Parikshit is asking Sukadeva Goswami some questions, with the greatest devotion. You can imagine what's happening in Parikshit's heart now. We are talking about Shiva Brahmarshi now. Go back to Parikshit, another scene there. Parikshit had left home and left the palace, thrown away everything. Got the curse from Sringi. In 7 days' time, the body is going. All this is in the background, you should never forget that. Threw away everything, empire gone, family gone, body is going on its way out. Came to Ganga River and decided to sit there, thinking about Krishna and glorifying Krishna, and simply in thoughts of Krishna, wanted to leave the body. That was the sole intention while coming there. He had no other plans. What happened after that? One after the other. Atharvasishtashchavarapasharadvan. All these rishis arrived one after the other. So Parikshit started thinking, what have I done for this? I have done something very wrong, bad thing. And all these people have been sent here for me to associate with at the time of death. Who can expect this association in life? Atri, Vasishta, Shavana, Sharadvaj, Bharadvaj, Gautama, all kind great, great souls, including Narada Maharshi. So he could not believe himself for what he has done for this. What have I done to have all this association? He was thinking like that, and it was at that time Shiva Brahmarshi arrives on the scene. So as soon as Shiva Brahmarshi arrived there, all the other rishis got up. Naturally, Parikshit realized it. This is some another great personality who had come here. And looking at itself, Parikshit realized it is not an ordinary personality. Parikshit straight away fell at the feet and paid his respects to him. And being pleased with Parikshit, Shiva Brahmarshi looked at him. By that very look itself, Parikshit is already liberated. He is in that state, the liberated state it is. From now on, whatever is happening there in the Bhagavadam, is already simply by looking at it, Shiva Brahmarshi has brought him out from this world, like the way he is. He has brought him out. And from now on, whatever that is happening, you have to realize it. That is why Shiva Parikshit Samvadam is not in the ordinary level, like Brahma Narada Samvadam, or Narada Vyasa Samvadam, or Sudha Shavanaka Samvadam. These are three different levels in the Bhagavadam spoken. Sudha Goswami and Shavanaka Rishi, one level. Vedavyasa Maharshi and Srinarada Maharshi, another level. But Shiva Brahmarshi and Parikshit, which is on the topmost level, and that is perfect speaker and the perfect listener, both. And that is why it is spoken about that in this way. So he's saying here, what have I done for this? What did I do for this? That is why if you look at the words from now on, Parikshit Vacha, of course the Bhagavatam is in Parikshit Vacha, but the way it is that Aho adyavayam brahman salsevya kshatra bandhavaha kripaya adhiti rubena bhavadvistirthaka krithaha. He says that you have come. What have I done for this? That when I was in my mother's womb, Uttaradevi's womb, at that time I had the opportunity to see Krishna. And even after I had that darshanam of vision of Krishna, like everybody else, I continued as a king, as the emperor. All that has happened, I think, because of that vision of Krishna. Otherwise, it shouldn't have happened to me. And I was thinking, at that time I was thinking, Parikshit is saying, at that time I was thinking, I have become the king and the emperor and all that because I saw Krishna in the womb. But now I realize that what actually I was given at that time in the womb was an initiation for Srimad Bhagavatam. You see, Parikshit's mind working, thinking goes in a different way. He used to think that, like we do, when a lot of material opulences comes in life, we think Krishna is very pleased with us, isn't it? He's giving us everything. Sometimes people say like that, Krishna has given us, cured me everything. I have no complaints. Completely, fully surrendered to Krishna because he has given me everything. That's the way we look at it. But look at the way Parikshit is seeing. Parikshit is saying, I used to be stupid, he said. I used to think like a fool. That I became the emperor and king and all these opulences, palace and big empire, everything due to my having darshan of Krishna in the womb. But now I realize it. That was not for that purpose, he said. He says, I realize that Krishna has appeared in front of me for the sake of making me, bringing you closer to Subrahmarshi to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. That is how he is seeing Bhagavatam. He is seeing Bhagavatam. So, seeing Krishna means, this is the result of that. Otherwise, how could I see at this time of my life, when I am leaving this body, how could you come here? This is how Parikshit is thinking. Without Krishna's that darshanam, what I had, vision I had of Krishna in the womb of Uttaradevi, in my mother's womb, that is what has made this happen. Uttara's surrender again, remember that. What Uttara has done, benefit, Parikshit got it. Otherwise Parikshit knows he doesn't have any qualification himself. Doesn't have. It is Uttaradevi's surrender. That is why in the Srimad Bhagavatam, this Uttaradevi's surrender is given highest priority over everything else for this reason. That due to that, Parikshit got Srimad Bhagavatam. Just like through Arjuna we got Bhagavad Gita, through Parikshit we got Bhagavatam. So we have to offer a lot of gratitude to both these personalities, to Arjuna as well as to Parikshit. Without Arjuna we wouldn't have had Bhagavad Gita. Similarly, without Parikshit, we wouldn't have had Srimad Bhagavatam. Is it not? So that is why that he says here. And that proof he's saying here, Nunam me Bhagavan. See that? Nunam me, Bunam Bhagavado Brahman. So, Abhime Bhagavan Prida, Krishna Pandusuda Priyaha, Paidusha Seya Prithyartam, Tal Gotrasyata Bandhavaha. All that verses you can read from verse 32 onwards. Aho adhyavayam brahman salsevya shatra bandhavaha kripaya adhiti rubena bhavalti bhavadhisthirtaka akradaha yesham samsmaranadat pumsam sadhya shudhyandi vai griha kim punar darshana sparsham pada shaujasana dhibi sanidhyate maha yogin padagani maha andyavi Sadhyo Narshyandiva Ashyandivai Pamsam Vishnu Riva Suretaraha Abhime Bhagavan Prida Krishna Pandusada Priyaha Paidrushvaseya Prithyartam Tal Gotrasyata Bhandavaha Anyadhade Avyaktagadir Darshanam Nakathamdranam Nidaram Riyamananam Samsidhya Samaniyasa Adaprachrami Samsidhim Yoginam Paramam Gurum Purushasyahayal karyam priyamanasya sarvathaha. That he did not that you have yuyam agadaha, says yuyam agadaha. In other words, he says there that you have come as a guest here today, and you have only come here only for one purpose, to purify me. He says, to purify me. Because simply by remembering about Sukadeva Goswami, Shukha Brahmarshi, we get purified. Simply by remembering him. So, you have come and sat here. What shall I ask you? He is saying. Parikshit is saying, what should I ask you? I cannot lose this opportunity, what I have got. And therefore I am asking this question, he says. Therefore I am asking the same question, what he was asking before. What should a man do when death is standing in front of him? When death is standing at the doorstep, and right in front of you, the death is waiting. What should a man do at that time? And I know now, he says that, in the seventh day, I will be gone. Already it started now, the days have started going. What should I do? That is what he is saying here, then the 37th verse. Adaprachami samsiddhim yoginam paramam gurum purushasya hayal karyam mriyamanasya sarvatha. What is his business in this world when he knows the body is going, the body is leaving? What should he do? The same question. We all have the same question, is it not? But we don't want an answer. That's only the first. We are saying that, what do we do? We have to call the ambulance, that's all. And go to what, for general or wherever we have to go. And then leave the body and go to another body. That's all. But Parikshit is asking from a different position. He's saying, what should a person do when he knows that he's going to leave this body? And you see how he addresses Shukra Brahmarshi? He does not call him yogi. He says to him, yoginam paramam guru. The spiritual master of all the yogis, he's saying. Yoginam param, 37th verse. Ada prachrami samsiddhim, yoginam paramam guru. That is Shukra Brahmarshi's position. Yoginam paramam guru. Then, that means, the guru of all the yogis. So imagine what status that is. Guru of all the yogis. That means, when the yogis have doubt, they can clarify their doubts from him. We don't need Shukra Brahmarshi to clarify our doubts. Our doubts are simple doubts, isn't it? But when yogis who have practiced spiritual life, they also have doubts. You can see in the Bhagavatam, Kumaras go to Lord Shiva. Four Kumaras, Sanaga, Sananda, Sanadana, Sanat Kumara, four Kumaras, Brahmas, Manasaputras, they come first time from, they are the one who cursed Jaya and Vijaya and sent them here. As Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu. So imagine they have doubts. Similarly, in the 13th chapter, in the 11th canto, they had doubts, isn't it? Kumaras had doubts. In the Dakshinamurti Sotram, when they had doubts, they go to Lord Shiva. He is Jnana Guru. He instructs them on spiritual life in silence. The Dakshinamurti is silent. He is silent. The Kumaras are sitting in front of them, they are also silent, and the knowledge of the self is getting transmitted. All their doubts are getting cleared, being in the presence of Lord Shiva. That you will see, you can read that in the books. The Shramurti is called, Shiva is called the Shramurti because of that. That he is sitting there in the southern direction, his photograph, picture is drawn by the artist to show that he is not with Sri Parvati, separately as a ascetic. He is sitting there underneath the tree, huge banyan tree, and the four Kumaras are sitting there. They are not asking any question. And Lord Shiva is not answering the question. Just being in the presence, whatever doubts they had, it's getting clarified inside. In the 13th chapter in the Srimad Bhagavatam of the 11th canto, you will find exactly the same thing happening. Four Kumaras came, they had doubts. Krishna had to appear as a Hamsa and clear their doubts in the spiritual life. So they also get doubts. They also get doubts in their mind. So that is what you can see there. So at that time, He says here that what should I do? That is that 38th verse. That's an important verse. Yachrotavyam patho japyam yal kartavyam nrubhi prabho smartavyam bhajaniyam bruhi yadwal viparyayam. It is from this question Srimad Bhagavatam started flowing. This was that question. Yachrotavyam patho japyam yal kartavyam nrubhi prabho smartavyam bhajaniyam bruhi yadwal viparyayam. What should a person do? What should he hear? What should he chant? What should he meditate upon? And what should he do? Please instruct. Say, what should that person do when death is waiting in front of him? And you are, what is Shukha Brahmarshi like? To get an appointment, Shukha Brahmarshi is not easy, isn't it? Can't even find him where he is. If he comes, that's your good fortune. He has come. But when he comes, his normal situation is, he says, Nunam Bhagavado Brahman Griheshu Grihamedhinam Na Lakshade Avastanam Abhigodohanam Kochil. Even if he comes anywhere, normally he will stay only that much time, enough to milk a cow. That means a very short period of time. That's what he will stay. That's when he says, Godohanam Kochil. And you have come here and you have decided to stay with me these 7 days. It looks to me like that. Parishit is in shock. Normally, Shukha Brahmarshi won't spend such a long time with anybody. Godohanam kochit, he says. Just to milk the cow. That's not so much time you will spend. But now, you have come deliberately here to see me at this time in my life when I'm going to leave my body. And actually, you have decided there is some higher law working behind it, higher force operating behind it. And what should I do? And after hearing this word from Parishit, Shukha Brahmarshi was in bliss. He was pleading, still in his blissful state, he was there. And now, the reason is that although he asked this question, who Parishit asked this question, straight away he won't give the answer. The question has to go inside and go and touch the Antaryami, and from Antaryami the answer has to come. This is how it is. It's not that like when we talk, people ask a question, you want an answer straight away. Isn't it? That's normal world. If somebody asks a question, you want an answer straight away. But here, it is not like that. Here it's not like that. He says that the person is full inside with knowledge and realization. That means Antaryami inside has to speak. That means it takes a little time. The question has gone inside now. It will go and hit the right spot inside. And hit the right spot. From there, the answer has to come. And that is when that Srimad Bhagavatam, that river, Ganga river, called Srimad Bhagavatam, start flowing from there. Parikshit paid his obeisances, and again and again, and Shukha Brahmarshi blessed Parikshit and told him to sit down. And says to him, how did he say to him? He said, by asking this question, you have blessed the whole world. He says to Parikshit, because if you haven't asked this question, the Srimad Bhagavatam would not have come to this world. And after saying this, he started Srimad Bhagavatam. That's what you will see in the next chapter. So you can see the whole scenario, what was happening there when Parikshit was leaving the body. So we'll stop there today. And when I come back from India, we'll continue with Bhagavatam again. There is so much in the Srimad Bhagavatam that it is never ending. Like Krishna is unlimited, Srimad Bhagavatam is also unlimited. So let's hope we'll continue again. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Yes.